Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Praise be to Allah, the cherished sustainer of the worlds.
Ar-Rahmanir Rahim.
Okay. You're listening to Girls Corner. We're going to be talking about Ramadan and fasting today. I'm going to tell you why it's important to fast and how fasting can help you. If you're not Muslim, I'm going to give you some reasons, let you know some of the health benefits and how fasting can change your life. Now, Ramadan is important because it shows you, it makes you cautious. And if you fast, then you can get protected. You can protect yourself and you can have the type of thing where you know not to do something. You can have control over how much you eat and control over what you do in general. Even if you're not a spiritual person, you're going to feel the thirst and hunger of fasting. It's a physical feeling between your stomach and your mouth. You're hungry, but you're waiting until sunset or Maghrib. Your heart is in control of the fast. So, basically, what I'm telling you is, fasting is... It's not always easy. Sometimes you get hungry and all that stuff, and you get thirsty. But at the end of the day, when it's time for you to break your fast, you don't even feel that hungry. And when you fast, you get to see how people in other countries that don't have any food feel. Most of us waste our food, throw food in the trash all the time. But this is a month where you get to see how it feels to be hungry. And when you think about it, you're blessed because at the end of the day, you still get to eat. And the folks out there don't. So, and Satan or Shaitan is locked up. So whatever you do is your character. So like if you start any fights or whatever, Shaitan is locked up. So that's you doing that stuff. You doing all this, listening to music, or you doing all kind of stuff, clubbing and all that. That's you. Nobody else but you, because you chose to do that. You know it's the time of month where everybody's supposed to read Quran and try to read Hadith and get closer to Allah, and you doing all that stuff. And this is the month where listening, watching TV and all that stuff is supposed to be minimum, not even really supposed to watch all that stuff. I'm trying to get closer to God and just change your life. This is a month that saves people from that are destined or chosen to go to the hellfire also. And my other girl from Mary is showing me. She's about to get off. So we haven't had her in a long time. So here she is.
Hello?
One second. Okay, Samira.
Yeah.
So, you want to make a comment on it?
Yeah, like, what are you talking about?
Talking about Ramadan and fasting and like that.
Okay.
You want to listen in or you want to go?
I just want to listen real quick.
Okay. So, this is a month that saves people from the hellfire. The gates of hell are closed, and the gates of paradise are open. So people that have died or whatever, some of them, Allah is going to forgive some of them. Also, whoever fasts the entire month of Ramadan, believing in Allah, hoping for Allah's reward, and doing the fast, hoping that Allah rewards them, reward you. You're not going to do it because of society or because your friends are doing it. You're doing it for the sake of Allah. Then Allah will forgive all your sins and all that stuff.
Exactly.
See, some people, they only fast because it's in the culture. Some people fast because their whole family's fasting. Like, if you're Muslim, you really don't want to fast, but you're only fasting because your family's fasting, and you know that if you don't fast, they're going to be getting on you. You're fasting just for that reason. that's not a good reason to fast. You should be fasting because you want to get your sins forgiven. You want to try to get close to Allah. You want to, like, become a better person. You shouldn't be fasting because your mom is fasting or your sister's fasting. If you fast just because everybody else is doing it, then you're not really getting the reward exactly. Well, you still get the reward, kind of, but you're not really benefiting from it. You're just fasting because, and then when you don't get around your family, you don't get around people like that, then you're not going to fast. Anything you want to comment on that, Samara?
And in our house, like, there's, like, no TV. Like, the TV's unplugged. And, like, we just, like, play, like, Quran. It's, like, help you, like, a lot. It's, like, you watch the TV, like, you know, like, all that stuff you watch, it's just, like, yeah, so it's better, like, if you don't watch TV.
Yeah, like, during Ramadan, most families, they turn their TVs off and stuff. And
yeah,
they try to get the kids to read Quran and learn Arabic or read Hadith and all that stuff. And they go to the masjid and pray Tarawih prayer. And there are some younger kids that do like to watch TV. So when you have that kind of problem, you have to kind of show them that this is a month where you can't do that stuff.
Yeah, like,
honestly,
like,
sometimes
even
you may have a show coming on and you want to watch it badly. Like, oh, my show's coming on tonight. And you're like, oh, it's Ramadan, I can't do it. And
yeah,
you,
like,
fight it, you know? You don't just give in to them. Like, oh, okay, fine. Some people do this. They fast and they act good for the day, for the while they're fasting. And then when fasting's over, they stop. They start doing all this stuff at night. And that's hypocritical because you know it's the month of Ramadan. Anything you do still kind of counts, you know, even if you're not fasting. Some of them wait till after they break their fast to do all kind of stuff. And, like, you let the match, I see some girls or whatever just doing all kind of stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, talking to all these guys and just acting wild because they know the day of fasting is over. But the next day, you're still going to be fasting. So, I mean, my point is just try to fast the whole thing and don't try to be acting all bad when Ramadan or whenever you break your fast, you know? Some people do that kind of stuff. They'll wait until after the fast is, and then they'll deal everything and do all that. And if you do that, you're not really getting the fast because you're just doing whatever you want, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, Samir, why'd you do that for, Samir?
Do what?
Okay, anyway. You want to say something?
Say what?
Man, you're on air right now, right?
Yeah, I'm always on the air. This ain't nothing new.
Okay, say something. Hurry up.
What's up, people? It's your boy right here. Signing in, you know, talking about fasting, you know.
Are you fasting right now?
Nope.
Mm.
I broke my fast. Nah,
oh, whatever.
I'm just
put
playing. Yeah, I'm fasting.
On. Of course you're fasting. You're not that stupid. Now put some air back on.
No, I'm getting on the air. Watch out. I'm going to talk to everybody. Okay, I'm telling everybody about one thing about fasting. Your attention's got to be right. It's not all about not eating. It's about everything.
Like what? Okay, guys. Like I was saying.
And, like, you know, you got to watch the way you act, the way you talk, all that good stuff. You know,
give us an example.
Yeah, he left.
Okay, whatever. Okay, now, whoever prays at night.
Huh?
Every single one. It's so much noise. Where you at?
Hold on.
Okay, whoever prays at night, every single night, then that is, hold on 1 second, that is up to them to have all your sins forgiven. So if you pray every night during Ramadan, because one thing about Ramadan is it's a month where you're supposed to get closer to God. So that's why it's very important, like, to not, that's why you don't see a lot of people, you see them in the masjid a lot, praying and all that stuff. Because if you just cursing, you running around watching TV all day, just doing all whatever.
Yeah, like, you fast. Your mouth has to fast. like, don't, like, say, like, all the dumb things. Your hand has to fast. Don't, like, get a computer and, like, go to dumb things. Yeah, your whole body has to fast, basically. So, yeah, it's, like, it's not just, like, your stomach, like, not eating. Like, your whole body has to, like, you know, fast.
And a lot of people that aren't Muslim, exactly. Some people that aren't Muslim, they fast because they see that. They see the benefit of fasting. Some people fast just to lose weight.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I must make fast to lose weight. I mean, that's dumb. They wouldn't do that. And, you know, fasting, it does help you lose weight when you really think about it, because when you fast all day, you're not really hungry at the end of the day. So you're not going to eat that much. You may eat, like, a small, like,
no,
small plate
people,
of food, and then you're done. You're full.
Some people, because, like, on a minute.
Now, some people, they'll, as soon as they break their fast, they'll continue to eat. They won't be hungry, though. They'll be eating because it's like you're trying to make up for the whole day. You're trying to make up for the whole day. Trying to eat everything they didn't eat, you know? And that's not really smart. You're not going to lose weight. You're going to gain weight like that.
Exactly.
You're going to have all these diarrhea and all this bloating and stuff because you're putting all that food in your stomach and all that.
Exactly.
So, yeah, like, and when you're, like, in the morning time, it's good to eat healthy food, like fruit and vegetables or whatever, and drink a lot of water. And my grandma even told me, like, she said oatmeal is a good thing to eat. Because the fiber and all that stuff.
Anyway.
But,
yeah, you keep doing yeah,
but
anyway.
Yeah. So, anybody got any questions or comments on that?
I just got
I guess not. So, oh, we got somebody out of comment. Hold on. All
right. Somebody getting on.
Caller 646, question, comment.
Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikumsalam.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan.
I really wanted to call before, right? But I'm just calling now, so if it's all right, I'm going to just make this comment.
Yeah,
I know it says in the Quran that Allah made us a tribe to one another so that we may get to know one another and cooperate instead of despising one another. And I think we all should get together and help one another. And I'm talking about, you know, Muslim, Sunni, Orthodox, you know, different, and even with the Christians, we should find that interfaith unity. You know, I believe in Imam Mufti Muhammad hit the nail on the head, and it was very good that we should do that. There's a prayer line that I guess we could go to. I'm in North Carolina, but I know they got it in other areas, and it has helped me a lot. I do want to ask a question, but I just want to give you this. It's 712-432-3066. 712-432-3066. And the PIN number is 922-364. You can go to RamadanPrayerLine.com and find out more information.
Okay.
Listen, the question I want to ask is, is there any information you have for someone that works at night? I mean, this prayer line has helped me out a lot.
You mean about praying?
What?
You mean about praying? You mean like
in terms of the fast itself, you know, is there any kind of dalil or information that you know of that's beneficial to someone who works at night? I work from 10:30 to 6:30. The prayer line, it comes on at 5 in the morning. And by me being able to listen to that, it's helped me tremendously. But, and, you know, and I can rest a lot of the day, not all of the day, but I can rest, you know, then I can read my 30th, make my prayers and stuff. But I'm just saying, have you ever heard of anything for somebody who works overnight?
I haven't really heard anything. Somebody, you heard anything?
No.
I haven't heard anything, but...
Can.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, she
cried. Okay, now. So, like I was saying, Anything you want to say, Ramadan Samir, before I continue? Okay. So Ramadan is the ninth month of the Islamic calendar. It's a time for Muslims to focus on purifying their soul through prayer and self-sacrifice. During Ramadan, more than a billion Muslims around the world observe one of the five pillars, fasting. Each day of Ramadan from sunrise to sunset, Muslims age 12 and older traditionally practice fasting. But it's not only 12 years old. It can be younger than that. But,
yeah, my brother's 7 and 8, yeah, they fast.
The month is restrained from idle talk and gossip. If you like to gossip and talk bad about people, this is a month where you shouldn't do that. You should try to keep your tongue, hold your tongue. If you always have something negative to say about somebody, learn to be quiet. And just think about, like, your sins and all that stuff. In this way, yeah, so the mouth, for example, is restrained from gossip and idle talk, while the ears are restrained from listening to bad things and music and stuff like that. In this way, a Muslim engages his or her entire body in the physical observance of Ramadan fast. Okay. During Ramadan, Muslims rise before sunrise to partake in pre-fast meal called Sahur. Each night after sunset, they break their fast with the iftar, the meal, like eating dinner or whatever. At the end of the month, Ramadan is marked with the joyous festival of Eid al-Fitr, which literally means the festival of breaking the fast. So we have like Eid, which is going to be like, it's going to be August something. And so when we have Eid, well, that's the day when fasting ends and there's no more fasting until the next year. You have any comments, Samara?
Unless you're going to fast Monday through Thursdays.
Yeah, unless you want to still continue to fast. Let's see. Muslims, hold on a second. At many mosques during Ramadan, they pray Tarawipur, which they pray like all night, well, not all night, but like some, maybe a, how long they pray at night? Like an hour or 2 hours?
Yeah.
Like about an hour or 2 hours at night, each night. Until they get to the last 10 days of Ramadan, and then they pray like almost all night because they're trying to get to Laylatul Qadr, right? And it's like a night when, like, all your sins will be forgiven and all that stuff. I don't know about all of it. And what else?
Your dua will be answered.
Yeah. So, that's why, like, last 10 nights, a lot of people come out because they want to get that reward. Not everybody's going to get it, though. That's why they try to come out every day to pray last 10 nights.
And one thing, you do not have to go to the masjid and pray.
Yeah, you can play at home.
Hold on, my brother wants to say something.
Okay.
This is why you don't have to go to the masjid and pray. Because it's not the sunnah. And it doesn't say nowhere in the Quran or sunnah that you got to go to the masjid and pray. But some people think that you do. And when you tell them you're going home to pray, they get mad. They're like, oh, bro, you got to pray at the masjid. But no. They're wrong.
Okay.
Because like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not pray like every day in the masjid. He actually prayed at home. But like people these days like think like you have to go to the masjid like every night and pray. Like you should see it when they come bring their kids be loud and then like be so squished you can barely pray. Like how are you gonna have any like khushu if you're praying like that? Like it's crazy. Like, you can't even walk, and, like, you have no space to, like, bow. It's, like, no space, like, squished, and then, like, kids are, like, running around all outside loud, and you can just barely focus. So it's, like, even, like, it's better to pray at home. And, like, people get mad and think, like, you are, like, or they better than you because they go pray at the masjid, which is not even the sunnah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, what she said was right. Hold on 1 second. Okay, but yeah, like I said, like what she said. Yeah, if you don't have to pray at the masjid. You can pray at home. But if you want to pray at the masjid, then you can.
Yeah.
During Eid al-Fitr, it's literally the festival of breaking the fast. Because, like, all month you fast for 30 days. So, like, basically, a whole month you've been fasting. And now it's a day of celebration where you don't have to fast, whatever. You eat, you see your friends, go to parties, get new clothes, presents, and all that stuff. Anybody got any questions or comments you want to make? Call 646-716-4478. And dial 1. If not, listen. Now. Let's see. Yeah, charity and good deeds are always important, like, during Ramadan. So, like, some people, like, that don't, because, like, if you have a kid or whatever, like a baby, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then, like, isn't that they say that you don't have to fast, you have to do something else, like, feed the poor and all that stuff? Yeah? Like, if you're breastfeeding them and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I say stuff about, like, that. Okay, somebody got a comment.
Okay.
Muhammad. Call 301, comment, question.
Assalamu alaikum. I have three comments to make on the question about congregational prayer. We do know that it may not be in the Quran that you're required to make congregational prayer. I know that a lot of people do try to make more congregational prayers at the masjid and in groups during Ramadan and any other time, which we should work on doing that all year long. But congregational prayer is your prayers are multiplied, your blessings are multiplied when you come together. Ten times when you come together in prayer as the ummah, that's why people rush so much in during the month of Ramadan,
which they should do all year long.
My second comment.
Obligatory prayers, not in Tarawih. In obligatory prayers, it's better to pray in Jumu'ah for the men.
Okay, and obligatory prayer during the month of Ramadan are still the same prayers. The five prayers are obligatory.
Exactly.
So. You should be coming to congregational prayer if you can. I'm not saying that they should be upset with you because that is a personal choice, but to say that you don't have to come, you're right. It's not necessarily in the Quran or Sunnah, but it speaks, if you read about Prophet Muhammad and his life, it talked about him rushing to prayer and making long journeys to join congregational prayer.
Mm-mm, no.
Okay, well, you look it up. My other comment, as a parent, I do agree that there needs to be more control over the children so that you can concentrate, even especially for the sisters.
Exactly.
It doesn't even have to be during Ramadan time. That's
exactly.
A lot with the children. We need more control with the children and respect for people to pray in. But also it says that during the Prophet time, he let the children play on his back, and he didn't make his prayer. So there is a lenience for the younger children, but the older children, everyone needs to help with the children. The boys, the girls, all of the children need to be allowed because there's some places they try to ban the children from prayer. And if you ban the children from prayer, then they never have a love for it. You can't wait till they get to be 7 and 11 years old to tell them. If they've been running wild the whole time, they're not going to come to prayer then because they've started learning to do other things. They should love the prayer. They should emulate what you when children are learning, they emulate what they see. They emulate what you allow them to do. So if you allow them to run through from 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 until they get 7, when they get 7 and 8, they still want to run and play. Any child, people have seen, children will copy, even a 2-year-old will copy the prayer. They can't concentrate on it. They don't know what's happening. But if they see you in humble prayer, they're going to emulate you. So
okay,
it's the responsibility of the whole community to take care of the children.
People's at the masjid to pray, right? If they bring, like all these kids running around crazy, you might as well just stay home and pray instead of come and interrupt the other people that's trying to pray. So why are you bringing all your kids to the masjid doing the most? And other men that's praying on the other side, everybody can't even have khushul because you got kids running around screaming. Like, what is that? You might as well just pray at home. And, yeah, instead of bringing all these kids late at night running around.
I don't disagree with you to some extent, but at that same time, that sister has just as much right to come. It's the community. The children just don't belong to her because those same children that you're talking about are also Muslims, and there are sisters that could assist her and brothers. If they're boys, the boys should be over there with the men.
Everybody
I don't
knows
care how old they are. As long as they
knows.
Can go to the bathroom and they can walk and talk
everybody
to the boys, should be over there.
Women to prayer at home anyway. So
it is. But the prophet did not ban them from coming. They say it would be better in their courtyard. It should be better in their halls. It should be better in their home. But they're not banned from coming.
Don't come interrupting everybody else.
Well, you're right to some degree. They should control their children. If your children are out of control, you need to maybe stay home or work on it. And maybe the sister needs help. We don't know.
But we
did
know
you offer? That would be the first thing. Does the sisterhood offer any help? Or did you just stand and criticize?
We're not criticizing. We're just simply...
You're making a statement. It's critical. It's not positive. Okay, that's my comment. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Amir. Okay. Now,
yeah, that's really ignorant because the prophet prayed at home. So, yeah, if you're going to come distract everybody else, it's better to stay home anyway, so you might as well just stay home.
Can you please get on room?
But anyway.
Okay. So, anything you want to say?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I mean... Yeah, basically what I said already, it's not obligatory, so why are you distracting everybody else that's trying to come get the reward, which can't even focus because your kid's running around? If you can't control them, stay home, which is better for you anyway, so yeah.
Okay, anyway.
Okay, so, yeah, what she said, hold on, somebody else had a comment.
Assalamu alaikum.
Call 315, question, comment.
Yes, I want to make a comment. What the young lady saying, she says not obligatory. I mean, but the passion and love and kindness for this deen is supposed to be is in your heart. And what's wrong? You says that what's wrong with their children coming to the masjid? And along with their parents, learning the deen during the month of Ramadan. What's wrong with it? Now, you said it wasn't obligatory. What's wrong with it, the children? I mean,
he's
I
saying,
can understand you done got a strong stand yourself. You got a strong stand yourself. And I think your stand has come somewhat selfish because you put to you. But what's wrong with the children? I've been in for 40 years. I've been taking my children to the masjid where I live at in Salem. So what's wrong with the children coming
there's
to the masjid?
Wrong.
You said it or not. You saying it's yeah, but you come up with one thing. Said that the prophet. But Allah said you're supposed to pray at the masjid, the house of Ummah. That's why the masjid
for
was
the obligatory prayers.
Brother, that's why the masjid was established for us to perform congregational salat. And we know that during... Well, let me finish, brother, and then you can say what you have to say, please.
All right.
Let me finish. That's why the masjid said when three believers get together, and then that's why the most knowledgeable person leads the salat. So that's why we need a masjid. That's why we need the community to come together, to work together. We need the children, and we're losing our children. And if we don't show them what we're doing as believers and how to conduct themselves growing up as believers, we're going to lose them. I can understand. I don't know what the young lady, whether she has any children or not, but we need to support the children. And supporting them is bringing them down to the masjid in the community center. That's all I have to say.
Oh. So like I said, like what she's saying, I mean, when you think about it, she's kind of right. If you're trying to pray or whatever, you got all these kids running around, how are you going to concentrate, you know?
Exactly. How
and
you get the reward?
It's not saying you guys can get the reward because you're trying.
I know.
But let's say you're at the masjid and you got kids running around screaming. I've been at the masjid and kids are running around screaming. Nobody can concentrate. People are snapping their fingers at the kids and stuff, telling them, not to talk or trying to get them quiet. But at the same time though, they do have some masters where they have kids where they let kids pray it. Like, well, they watch the kids at, you know.
Yeah.
If your master has something like that, then yeah, bring your kids, you know. And then
because
you really are trying to.
Just because something isn't haram does not mean it's not wrong. Okay? And you should bring them, but if you can't control them and you can't make them sit down so other people can pray, and it's definitely not obligatory for kids to come to the masjid. So, yeah, you could just leave them at home or something. Like, it's good bringing your kids to the masjid. But, yeah, it's just like, it's not even obligatory for them to come. Everybody's trying to come and pray.
And sometimes the masjid be packed, you know? Nobody can sit. I remember one time me and my grandma was trying to go to the masjid. It was packed in there.
Exactly.
We couldn't get in there. And so if we wanted to get through work that night, we had to pray at home, you know?
Exactly.
So when you think about it like that, then it's kind of obvious.
Exactly.
But at the same time, it is good to bring your kids to the masjid because there are some kids that don't go to the masjid and they grow up never really respecting the masjid.
Like,
you know?
You don't have to bring them 11 o'clock at night. You can bring them, like, in the morning for, like, all the prayers. Or you can bring them to break fast and stuff like that. Like, there's a whole lot of time to bring them to the masjid. And you should. It's a good thing.
Okay. I think we got somebody else that want to make a comment. Hold on.
Call 301 comment question. I just wanted to make a couple compliments about Ramadan. Number one, Ramadan is a very special time, and Ramadan is a time of a pillar of the Islamic faith. Ramadan is, and it is Allah who has asked us to fast, and we do this for Allah. We do this once per year, and this is directly for Allah. Allah asked us to pray and to fast this time of the year. And so we should try in our heart to make it accommodating and make it easy for every Muslim that has a burning desire in their heart to come out and uphold that faith, to fast for Allah. And when you were speaking of the children, I know you're just saying children, but when you say children, are you speaking about babies? Or are you speaking about children that's 6 and 7 years old? Because it has already been declared and already been expressed through Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we should make sure that our children pray. And if they don't know how to pray, that's a responsibility upon the parents. The believing parents should make sure that their children enjoin prayer. And if they don't pray, you should beat them. Now, there are a whole lot of children. Now, I've been to different masjids. I've traveled all over America, and I've seen children with 6 and 7, 8, 9 years old. They stand around and play, which is inappropriate. Now, I can understand that if you're talking about young infant and toddler, there should be a place, if the center has any space possible, there should be a little room or somewhere that sisters can take turns. Or brothers can take turn or whoever and help take care of the younger children as toddlers like that, because they are not ready for prayer and they are going to cry and a lot of them need attention and want their mother. And sometimes if a mother has more than one child. Excuse me, she wants to say something.
Okay. In the Quran, Allah says fasting has prescribed on you. Allah never said in the Quran you have to go to the masjid every day and pray.
I did not say every day, sister.
I'm not saying you said that, but when the kids are, you don't beat them until they you know reach a certain age.
Seven.
And also, it's good to bring your kids to the masjid. Okay, you're talking about Ramadan. Ramadan is about fasting, not coming to the masjid every day praying. That's not what Ramadan is about.
You can
pray at home. You and your family all gather together and you can pray. You have to come to the masjid every single day, making it obligatory on your own. So making it might even be a hardship, wasting gas, come all the way down there. But people do it because they think it's wrong and they think it's haram if they don't do it. So they bring
their kids. Excuse me, young sister. Can I intervene for 1 minute?
All right.
Did you hear one word that came from my mouth that instigated or conveyed to you that I said that everybody should come every single day.
I didn't say you
did
said
I say that.
What people think. That's why they bring their kids. They bring the whole family to the masjid.
Well, who are you talking about? I thought this was a radio station, and it's open to whoever wish to listen in on it. Are you speaking about an area of masjid, a small center someplace? Or
yeah.
Are you reaching out to people all over America?
I'm talking about people all over.
We're reaching out to all people, but at the same time, everybody has their own views. And she's not specifically saying that you said that. She was just saying
what
people do. And that's one thing people do all the time. They don't listen to what you're saying. They disrespect.
And that's why I
don't listen to the
question.
God.
That's
you didn't
why
ask. You try to tell us. You didn't ask us anything.
No, I'm not trying to tell you. I asked you.
Ask
you
what?
Are you speaking about a particular area that you live in? Are you
talking about
people
in general. This is what a lot of people think, and a lot of masters. That's why I'm telling you why they do it. Why they do it and bring all their kids. I'm not talking about infants. I'm talking about like 8-year-olds and 7-year-olds.
They should be allowed to come in the masjid if they 7-8 year old, and then we should try to direct them.
They can come in the masjid.
And if there's a child that comes into the masjid and he's causing disturbance and interfere with the prayer, then he should be removed from the prayer. Removed from the congregation, the prayer area. He should be removed, or she should be removed if they're
all I'm
causing
saying,
confusion.
If you can't control your kids, keep them at home. That's all I'm saying. If you know how to tell your kids to stop making loud noise, people trying to pray, and they're, you know, good, and they don't, you know, then it's good. Bring your kids. Everybody comes to the mass. If you can't control your kids, and you don't know how to make them stop yelling and screaming while other people are trying to pray, then keep them at home. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay, now we're done with that.
Yeah.
So, let me just say something to everybody out there. One thing most people don't realize, when you're on a radio show, you have to learn to listen. And everybody has their own opinion, too. So when you think about that, everybody has their own opinion. And at the same time, people are going to get confused. You know, people are going to get confused about what they're hearing and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why if you do hear something, you can't exactly get mad about it. You have to kind of just address it, you know?
Yeah.
Make sure you heard correctly what they were saying. And they do tell you.
Let me say something real quick. Everybody has different opinions. Everybody thinks this. They think this is better. They think that is better. That's why we have the Quran and the Sunnah, so you can go back to that and see what Allah thinks is better. That's why, like, everybody, you know, go back to that. Or you can see what the scholars think. It's not about the religion. It's not about what we think. That's why we have the Quran and the Sunnah, to go read about it and actually see, like, what's best from the Quran and the Sunnah. Because everybody has different opinions.
Yeah. And you know what? That's why it's very important. When you hear somebody telling you something from the Quran, you got to check that out, you know?
Exactly.
You got to check. Because there's certain people that will try to make lies about the religion and try to get people to think certain ways.
They be like, they don't mean nothing, okay? You be like, no, it does mean something. Like, exactly.
And certain people, when you tell them something and you've actually researched it, they don't want to believe it because they know that if they listen to that, it's going to change their life. It's not going to do what they want it to do. And that's one thing I really, really, really dislike about some people that do that. You tell them, and they still want to keep arguing. I mean, it's obvious, you know? And some of them know it's true, but they just want to keep arguing because they don't want to accept that.
And
if you never accept the truth, how are you going to move on?
Yeah. And other people call, tell them what they saying what they think or what they think is right or what they think is not wrong with. This is not about what you think.
It's about what's facts, you know?
Exactly.
Now,
certain
common things, you can say what you think.
Yeah,
but that's one thing about Islam. It's not about what you think. It's about what's what, you know? It's not the religion of not what you think. It's about what's what. You can't sit there and say, I think this and that, so I'm going to tell everybody else what I think.
Exactly.
And that's why when you're, like, doing stuff like this, you got to know what you're talking about. You know, you got to know the facts about
it.
When you lie to people, you can get sins and stuff like that. And that's creating, like, bid'ah and all that stuff on religion. People
if
like
you lie
that,
on the Prophet
certain scholars and stuff.
Yeah.
Huh?
If you lie on the Prophet,
some scholars,
a huge sin.
Some scholars do stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
They kind of, like, lie or whatever and just try to make up stuff.
Those are, you know, that's why you got to make sure, you know, the trustworthy scholars, you know, the ones that really know, you know?
Yeah.
They know.
Yeah, that's why, like, you hear about certain scholars, like, don't listen to them.
Exactly. But yeah, if you think something, somebody else thinks something, just read up on it. You can go online and read up on it, see what the scholars say about it. You know, do that. Don't just like keep arguing and arguing, and nobody's getting nowhere because you believe what you believe. I believe. Now what are we gonna do? Read up on it.
Yeah, you're right though. Exactly. It's the world with stuff like that though. And like when you really think about it, everybody's gonna have their own opinion, you know? Some people aren't gonna listen to the truth.
Exactly.
And that's one thing I've learned about people in general. Humans are stubborn. You know?
Exactly.
They wanna fight for what they wanna go for. You can be close. You can even be like real close to somebody and talk to them all the time. And you and that person aren't going to always agree on everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even in the best relationship, people have things that they may have arguments, have disagreements and stuff. No one's going to agree with you 100% about everything. That's just not the way life works, you know?
Exactly.
That's not the way it works. So that's why, like, in the friends, the people may not want to accept everything about it, you know? They may not be like, oh, I don't want to agree with that. That's not true. This and that. Some of them know in their heart is true.
Exactly.
Some of them know in their heart is true. But they don't want to give up that sacrifice. They don't want to give up that. They don't want to give up what they're doing. So they try to play games, and they try to put on the front about,
exactly.
Oh, it doesn't say this and that. If it doesn't say this and that, you research it. Look at all the hadiths and stuff. And you know one thing, too? Not everything that you're supposed to do is in the Quran, you know?
Exactly.
Not everything. That's why a lot of Muslims have disagreement. They say it's not in the Quran. Not everything that you're supposed to do is specifically in the Quran. Some of the things are in the Hadith of what the Prophet told us to do, you know?
Exactly. That's all you
And
call.
That's one thing people try to play those games about, it's not in the Quran and all that. And that's how a lot of people get lost. And that's one of the big tests today, you know?
Exactly.
Are you gonna listen? Because it's not in the Quran? Look at Hadith, Sahih al-Bukhari, you know, that's like, there's certain people,
yeah.
Like, Hadith that's authentic, you know? And you know
yeah.
It's true.
Because Hadith...
So when you know about that, then
Hadith
you can accept it. But if you don't know about that, you're going to keep talking about the Quran. The Quran, doesn't, it tells us things that we need to know, but doesn't get into full detail. The Hadith are like...
Skinny.
The Hadith get into full detail.
That's why we have the Quran and the Sunnah. You have to follow the Quran and the Sunnah. Nobody says I follow the Quran, but I don't follow the Sunnah. You're not Muslim if you don't do that. You have to follow the Quran, and you have to follow the Sunnah, because the Quran might tell you, you know, pray, but it doesn't say how you pray. How would you know how to pray? So that's why you have to go follow the Sunnah when they tell you exactly how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed.
And that's why they have all these books about the Prophet and everything.
Exactly.
That's why
it says
look up
the
Prophet, because basically during his lifetime. He showed us how a Muslim is supposed to act, you know?
You'll be the story if
yeah.
You follow the Quran strictly. Because it says fast, but it doesn't say how you fast. It doesn't say don't do this. It doesn't say don't do that. Like, the Sunnah teaches
but
you
the
that.
Hadiths tell you. The Hadiths tell you. And
exactly.
See, that's why. I read about this, too. They used to have angels and stuff that came, like, in front of people and all that stuff and asked questions, you know, when everybody
yeah.
else was around. And they was able to understand, like, learn the religion like that, you know?
Me and Hadith Jibril?
Yeah, I think Jibril or something.
Yeah, when
yeah,
he came
Jibril.
Down and
yeah,
spoke to the Prophet. Yeah, exactly. And then everybody learned new things from when Jibril was asking the Prophet someone some questions, and he answered it, just so, you know, everybody around can learn, and then they learn from it. So, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Like, that's one of the big things I know for a fact, because a lot of people... And they don't say it specifically in the Quran, specifically,
yeah.
They will argue it. Some people that read the Quran, you know, really read it. And so some of them might hear something. They kind of know it's true, but they kind of feel like, I mean, it does make sense. I don't want to give up what I'm doing. I don't want to accept
really
that.
Lot of their own
but
self.
They keep reading
okay.
Whatever. They keep
right.
Reading or whatever. They don't look at the Hadith or anything because they know it's going to be in there. They know it. They just read the Quran or whatever, keep talking about it. It's not in there. I live my life, I do what I want. And, I mean, honestly, you do what you want. It is your choice. But at the end of the day, in the next world, everything like that, it ain't going to be your choice. It's going to be what you did in this world, you know?
Exactly.
That's why it's very important that you don't be stupid or whatever and end up keep
exactly.
Fighting it and not looking, not really, really looking or whatever. If you really, really, truly want to know, ask the scholars, because, you know,
exactly.
It's really something you really want to know. You just looking around, you still don't understand it. That's why they have scholars and people out there you can call. You can go to the master and ask them, and then they might have a connection or something.
Ask people
like
of knowledge. Don't go asking your friend what they think or asking this. Ask the people you know who know stuff. Go ask people who, like, really.
And most people don't want to take it that far because they know they'll find out the truth, you know? They'll find out the truth.
Exactly.
They don't want to find out the truth. And I'm going to be honest. Sometimes when things happen, I'm not even talking about religion right now. I'm just talking about on a regular level.
Yeah.
You mean, no, let's say your mom bought these cookies. You know she don't like you having cookies, right?
Exactly.
But you're making an excuse to say, mom said I could have them, but you didn't ask if you could have them, you know?
Exactly.
So you putting that line in your head, and then when you get in trouble, you're like, oh, you didn't say I couldn't have them, but you didn't ask. So it's kind of like that, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you have to take the initiative to ask or try to figure out.
And find out.
Go
like,
to somebody. Yeah, go to somebody.
I didn't think you care. Like, okay, how would you even know if I cared if you even ask or anything like that?
And that's something kids do in general, teenagers in general. I didn't think you cared. I thought you would usually, you never know what somebody's going to feel, if someone's going to change their mind or not, you know?
Exactly.
So if you think about it like that, it's kind of obvious about what's what.
Exactly.
Then it's just. Now it's just a bit. Now it's just based on how you're gonna take it, how you feel about it. And one thing about Muslims in general and people in general, Allah is giving you a chance to make your own decision. Allah is giving you a chance to live your life, do what you want. You know, Allah can easily stop you. You know, as soon as you do something, punish you for it. You know,
exactly.
That's why you see a lot of people that's not Muslim. A lot of rich people, they're rich, you know, they have all this money and stuff.
Exactly.
And all the Muslims, and I'm not going to say Muslims are poor, because they're not all Muslims are poor. But Muslims are like middle class, they don't have everything they want, you know?
And that's
how you
true.
See that, because
you
what?
Know, a lot of Muslims what? Overseas, like, really, really rich, so, you know.
No, you're overseas, maybe. But I'm talking about, like, in America or whatever.
You can't we? Okay, well, I get what you're saying, though.
So, like, I mean, she's right. Some people overseas are Muslims who, like, and overseas that have a lot of oil companies and rich. Yeah, like that. They can be rich from that. I'm talking about, like, in America a lot. Not all Muslims here. There's very few Muslims here that are rich.
Exactly.
And a lot of Muslims are looked down on because of the things that have happened to us. You know, like, that 9/11, all that stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That really, really affected how the U.S. and people looked at Muslims. Now and then you may hear somebody calling Muslim a terrorist or whatever and all that stuff.
Exactly.
And honestly, the way I feel about it, you can talk about trust all you want to. Because one day, you're going to answer that, you know?
Exactly.
One day, you're going to answer that. And that's how I look at life. You can talk about trust all you want to. But at the end of the day, if you're in that grave, you're going to answer to everything you did. You can keep on arguing, keep on fighting it. But at the end of the day, when you're in that grave, and everybody's going to die, guaranteed. There's nobody that you can say, even if they're 100 years old, they say, I'm living life. You're going to die at some point. And that's why it's very important to think about death. Because when you think about death, you realize that you don't have that much time on earth, you know? You could die right now in this second, just drop to the ground dead. And everything you did or whatever. And that's why in Ramadan, everybody's trying their best, you know? This is a time where they get their sins forgiven, they get to read Quran, get closer to Allah and all that stuff. They're sitting there playing around. And just doing whatever, you're not getting any good deeds. You're getting sins, and they're piling up. And one thing I do have to say, if you're doing stuff right now that you know you're not supposed to, considering Shaitan is locked up, it's you, you know?
Exactly.
Basically, that's how you are. That's your character. And if you're still doing that, whatever, now you know exactly who you are. And that's how you get to see it, though. Ramadan comes, start acting good and all that stuff. And certain people, as soon as Ramadan comes, they change completely, you know?
Exactly.
You see them at the mass and everything. But regularly, they're not at the masjid. Regularly, once in a blue moon, you see them at the masjid, you know?
Exactly.
Never praying and everything like that. They just pretend. And really, some people worship Ramadan, you know? They worship it. They think that Ramadan comes, I'm going to make up for everything that I didn't do the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they worship
Ramadan.
That's
what we call Ramadan Muslims. It's like only.
Yeah, only. And
Muslim,
you're not benefiting. And you're being a hypocrite, you know?
Okay.
You don't pray during the whole year, and as soon as Ramadan comes out, you want to pray? That's not. It's not right, you know?
Yeah.
To do that. How can you?
Because you don't even know if you're going to live to the next Ramadan. So after Ramadan over, you go do what you normally do. And then you die, not praying ever. And then, like, because you don't even know if you're going to live to the next Ramadan. So you can't base your religion on Ramadan.
That's what I'm saying. And that's why they say that Ramadan is time to purify, you know? It does make sense why you would want to
tighten up.
They do say it's time to purify and everything like that. But when you really look at it, if you only purify yourself during Ramadan, what does that mean? You spend your whole, let me give you an example, because some people want to argue about this. Let's say the whole year you go into clubs, you drinking, you having intercourse and all that stuff with other people and all that. How is that, and then Ramadan comes, then you want to, then now you choose, okay, I'm going to get back on track, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Well,
It is good to get back on track.
Right
after
keep
Ramadan,
doing the
same thing. If right after Ramadan, you do the same thing that you was doing before, you didn't really get the benefit. If Ramadan is going to be better, so after Ramadan, you still keep doing the good things. It becomes easier because you did it for a whole month. So it's like, it's easy now. But if you start going right back to the same stuff, I mean, you're supposed to at least get a little better.
Yeah, that too. And no one's saying that you're going to be perfect as soon as Ramadan's over. But at the end of Ramadan, something about you should have changed. The way you looked on life should have changed. If you're the same person, you're still doing the same thing. I don't know if I'm saying. I'm not going to sit there and say that. Huh?
No,
I'm not going to sit there and say that as soon as Ramadan's over, I'm a saint or anything like that. I'm not going to say that. What I am going to say is that after Ramadan's over, I've changed. I've changed different things about me. I may read more Quran because, like, usually Ramadan, a lot of people read Quran, you know. But Ramadan's over, you may even continue to read Quran, and it's good to read Quran. So no one's saying that. And it is. I mean, everybody has their own opinion on it, and that's why you have radio shows, and you have things to say. Everybody can have their own opinion. But that's one thing about Islam too. You can't exactly have your own opinion. So that's why I try my best to be careful. I try not to put my beliefs or my views on things on everybody. I try not to do that, but sometimes I do that, you know? And one thing I will say, it's all in your intention, you know? It's all what's in your heart. If you really, really do have, if you really are, let's say you just came into Islam and you have a drinking problem, you had this and that, then I can understand. You going back and forth between it. But you know what? I'm not even talking about this anymore because it's a really, really big subject, you know?
Yeah.
I don't wanna try to force anything on anybody else. So I'm gonna just end this little thing right here, okay?
Yeah, sure.
So any thing you wanna say? Like in general? We need to work on?
That we need to work on?
Ramadan.
I don't really know. Put me in a spot.
You know, I think when you work on Ramadan,
but
trying not to fight.
That's what I'm gonna say. Get upset and all that stuff.
Because I know me, for example, when I'm mad, a lot of people may not see me mad. I thought I'd be happy sometimes. But my family, they know the real me. They know that when I get mad or when I don't agree with something, I'm going to keep fighting it, you know? I'm going to keep, especially if I really, really know I'm right. Like, in my household, sometimes, they may say, you can't do this and that. And I'll be like, why not? What have I done? Or something like that. I'm not going to sit there and accept no for it. If I really, 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 really feel that I deserve this or I should have this, I'm going to keep trying to, like, you know?
Yeah, like, listen to your point.
Yeah, listen to my point. I'm not going to give up. And when I give up, that's when I'm kind of like, I know how you are now, you know?
You know what?
And they all, I know how you are. Like, I know who you really are.
Yeah, yeah.
And in my household and all that, I'm always trying to convince people. I'm always trying to convince people and try to make people see my side, you know? In my house, I don't always get to do what I want to do, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, one thing I do have to say, too?
What?
How you are raised kind of deflects who you are, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why, like, that's why I had to end this conversation, you know? Because not everybody, some people grow up Muslim, but they didn't grow up really, really being taught the religion. They didn't grow up learning how to pray.
Exactly.
They didn't grow up going to the masjid. They just grew up, they were born Muslim or whatever, and that was that. That was just it. Every once in a while, they may go to the masjid or whatever. Ramadan may get a gift or something like that. But if that's as far as Islam or Muslim was to them, you know? That's as far as it was to them.
That's
oh, yeah,
like, that's why, like, sometimes.
Oh, yeah, we got somebody that want to make a comment. Hold on.
Okay.
Call 813, question, comment. 813, question, comment. I guess not. Okay.
Okay. Like, that's why, like, people become Muslim sometimes better than people that's already born Muslim, because, like, they just became Muslim. It's, like, it's new, and they're like, oh, we got to do this? Okay, and then they start praying like that. Or we got to do this, and they do it, like, because, like, you just became Muslim. So, like, you know, they start doing what they, like, it's what they're supposed to do. But people that's born Muslim, they already know, like, they're supposed to do. They just, like, you know, don't really care, you know, because they didn't actually become Muslim. Sometimes they're, like, on their own. Like, their parents,
you know, they say about somebody just becomes Muslim, like, they're all their sins are forgiven, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like their newborn baby.
Exactly.
And that's why, like, that's why the masters, like, whenever they have a new Muslim coming into the religion, they always try to tell you to stay for it, to see, to realize the, how important it is and how good it is when somebody becomes Muslim, you know?
Exactly.
So, I mean, there are certain things that people just aren't going to agree on, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, these are the things I know people don't always agree on in this land. Wearing the scarf, hijab, and covering up. That's one thing not everybody agrees on, you know?
Yeah.
What else? That Islam is in your heart, you know?
Yeah.
So that's two things that people are always going to disagree on. And see, that's why, like, me, I'm one of those people that, like, see, you know what I'm starting to realize, Miranda?
Yeah.
Everybody who's born Muslim or became Muslim is blessed, you know?
Exactly.
They really are. Because certain people have certain personalities that if they weren't Muslim, they wouldn't,
exactly,
they wouldn't be able to give up their religion for nothing.
Exactly.
And I know my personality. If I wasn't Muslim, I honestly don't think I would have changed, you know?
Yeah.
I honestly don't. Because I'm one of those people that if I know something, that's what I'm going to stick to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And most people are like the Indian religion and all that stuff. Now
yeah.
they stick for Islam because that's what they grew up to know, that's what they were raised by, that's what they studied, went to the masjid, parents taught them. So they're gonna stick to that. And even you know,
yeah.
You're raised with someone, all that stuff. You're gonna fight for that. So imagine this wasn't whatever, you know, and
okay.
Yet people telling you yeah yeah yeah, you're gonna keep arguing it, you know.
Exactly.
It's like if a Christian's telling you come to Christianity and all that. It's true and all that. They're telling you that. You're gonna stick for what you believe. You're not gonna let them tell you that Islam is wrong. You're gonna keep fighting it because that's what you grew up to know. And that's why everybody who's Muslim or became Muslim is blessed, because Allah could have let somebody else take your place, you know?
Exactly.
You didn't have to be Muslim. Allah let you and chose you when you think about it, you know?
Exactly.
Because there are certain people that you tell them about Islam all the time. Like, you may have parents, or you may have cousins or aunts or whatever that aren't Muslims. And you always tell them about Islam. You tell them, you need to come to religion. They're getting old. You need to come to religion. They don't do it because it's not in their heart, you know?
Exactly.
They're not exactly chosen. And
some people will never be guided. Like, you can try all you want to
get. Some people will never be guided.
They're never going to accept it because they're deaf, dumb, and blind. They can't hear.
I'm not gonna say deaf and blind.
No.
It's not
Tina. It doesn't mean literally. Like, this is what it says in the Quran. Like, if you they hear the Quran, it goes to one ear, come out the other. Don't really enter their heart. That's what I'm saying. Like, when they, if they see it, it's just like it's like it's nothing. Like, they're basically blind. Like, they see the scar, they think it's a bad thing. Like, it's like,
yeah,
see, it's a good thing. Like,
but that's why everybody that became Muslim or is Muslim,
yeah,
is very blessed. But most of my family, most of my family isn't Muslim. Honestly, most of my family isn't Muslim.
Yeah.
I have a lot of family that's not Muslim. Even on my dad and my mom's side, I have people equal that's not Muslim.
Yeah.
So my mom was blessed. My grandma, everybody, my son, whatever, that is Muslim, is blessed to have came to their true religion. That's blessed, whatever, to have
mm-hmm.
came to this. Because they could have been Christian, they could have been Jewish, anything. And they would have been somewhere else. They would have been living somewhere else, whatever, doing whatever, you know. And they might have been hearing about Islam, and they would have been lost. It wouldn't have been even going to their head, you know. So that's all I got to say about that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one thing, too. You never, can never forget that. No, don't ever take advantage of being Muslim or whatever, because you're blessed, whether you like it or not.
Exactly.
You know the truth. Not everybody may know the truth, but you know the truth. And that's what matters. And that's why people always have to say, don't force your beliefs on anybody else. And sometimes I may do that. I may try to get people to see my side. But at the end of the day, they're going to make that choice, but they're going to take it to the next step, you know?
Exactly.
They're going to make that choice. So, that's all I got to say about it. So, you want to say anything?
No, basically, yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Because, like, when you think about it, sometimes when I really think about it, like, where I come from and all that stuff and what could have happened when I was born, my mom could have not been Muslim, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You really got to look at that. And if, let's say you were, you just became, or you became Muslim years ago. You got to think about it. I think everybody that's Muslim, whatever, you know, or that became Muslim should think about that every day, you know?
Yeah.
Think about that. Think about, let's say you weren't Muslim. Say you weren't, but you became Muslim. Think about if you hadn't been guided, if you hadn't thought, you hadn't had somebody, or you hadn't, your heart hadn't opened up. You just still stuck to what you used to believe. Think of what you would have became. Think of that. When you would think of that, then you start to you'll be like, I'm blessed. I really am.
Okay.
And some people have personalities that are stubborn, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to see. Like, you may tell them, do this and that. Do this. Come on. You know, listen to that. I have a personality that's very stubborn. I'm very stubborn. And I'm gonna say this on the air because I want to get this off my chest. my family, whatever, some of my family members want to tell me that I'm going to marry an Arab guy because of my personality and because they say I'm controlling or whatever. Now, honestly, I don't have anything against Arab people. Or people from foreign countries and all that stuff. But I don't see that as being me, you know?
Yeah.
Because I know, like, how some of them live. I know what I want to do with my life, you know? I know there's things that I want to accomplish, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that's going to affect that. And see, that's one thing I really, really do truly care about my family, you know? I really care about my family. I mean, I always be respectful and all that stuff, but at the end of the day, that's who I come to, you know, or that's who I'm always going to be close to, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm pretty sure, like, you have your brothers and sisters and stuff, I mean, you're always going to be around them, you know, like, always, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's all I got to say, though. So, you want to say anything?
No.
Don't want to share something? No one knows who you are.
They know me.
No, they don't. They know you, like, from this. They don't. If they saw you, they wouldn't know who you are.
Okay. Oh, you mean, like, share something personal?
Not personal, but just, like, share something, like, about, like, what you, maybe towards Islam or something, anything, really.
No, I'm good.
No? Okay. Well, but yeah, like, and even me, like, sometimes, like, every once in a while, I may think about, like, because sometimes, when I was, like, maybe, like, I think I was 10 or something like that. And one day I was just sitting there and I was thinking about my life, you know?
Yeah.
I was thinking about, like, how my mom did become Muslim when she was in her 20s, you know?
Yeah.
She did become Muslim. I was thinking about what if she hadn't become Muslim, you know? And what if my dad didn't become Muslim? What if he wasn't even born? What would have happened? You know? Would they have met? See, your destiny and things that happened totally change, affect, and reflect on who you really are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, not everybody sees that. Not everybody sees. Some people just, they just live life lost, you know? They don't really know what life is. They just live their life, think life is all a joke. And that's why, like, I was telling my cousins and all that stuff, like, every day you should think about death, you know? Think about what will happen if you die. Like, would you be happy with who you were, what you accomplished? If you aren't, then you need to change, you know? So, your turn, Samir. You can say some stuff now.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah, and plus we had a lot of viewers today listening on the show, a lot.
Oh, wow.
A lot of viewers today. So, you want to comment?
Me?
Yes, you.
If you have to give me a specific subject, I just can't come out the blue and start talking about all this stuff. Yeah.
What's up, maybe? Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to ask you on the air then.
Right.
Whose idea was it to get your brother on? You?
He just walked in the room, and I was like, here. Like, both of my brothers, like, you know, they're really good, you know, in the religion, you know, they know how to talk to people. So I don't know why they're so scared to get on. Yeah.
Was it Muhammad both times? Or both of them?
Huh?
Was both of them or Muhammad both times?
This is Muhammad. But, yeah.
Anyways, I was surprised. I was like, usually you keep ducking out, you know?
Exactly.
Avoiding it.
Yeah.
So, you got about, what? You got some time. At least 20 something minutes.
Oh, wow, that's a lot.
I know. So, what you want to talk about?
I don't know.
But let's talk about fasting for non-Muslims. Like, what effect is it?
Huh?
What's good about it for them?
We're talking about
for non-Muslims, like, they want to fast. What are the benefits for them?
Okay. If a Christian fasts, there's no benefit, basically. They can do it. You can fast all you want, but you
I mean, not. Like, benefits on a non-a benefit for a non-Muslim on a non-religious level.
Exactly.
Like losing weight or, like, seeing how people that's not in the other, like, in the other world still. I mean, this is how I feel about it. If you fast, even if you're not Muslim, you're benefiting. You're not benefiting on a religious level.
Yeah.
If you have faith and all that, but you're benefiting. You're benefiting by maybe losing weight or whatever. You're benefiting by seeing how other people feel. Maybe you respect the poor and the elderly and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And some people that's not Muslim, they fast like Muslims do, you know? They try to refrain from speaking and all that. So some of them really do, but they're just not Muslim, you know? And,
yeah.
I mean, it's not going to help them on a religious level, exactly.
Exactly.
As, like, Muslims would, but it's going to help them to change their, like, character, you know?
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe while they're fasting every year, maybe they may find the truth, you know? Who knows?
Because, like, you're fasting, putting away your hunger. You know you're hungry, you just put it aside. That's a good thing. Everybody can't
and
do
that. I didn't even, to be honest, I'm not even going to lie, I didn't want to fast this summer, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't want Ramadan to be in the summertime. Because, like, that's the time where I like to relax, you know? But when Ramadan came in the summer, I mean, it is what it is. That's one thing about Ramadan. Muslim holidays in general. They don't have a certain time. They come based on, like, the moon or something, isn't it? Based on the moon.
Hold
right?
on. anyway.
Yeah, so don't they come based on the moon or whatever?
What'd you say?
So don't they come based on, like, the moon?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's one thing about, like Christmas or whatever. It's every year, it's the same day, you know? Muslim.
Okay.
No, it's not the same day? It's not? Oh, well, I was wrong. My cousin was just correcting me.
Huh?
It's like, hold on 1 second. Talk for a minute. It's the same day? It's the same date, but it's not the same date. It's every day. It's not every day. It's like the same date. Yeah, it's like the same date. But it's so yeah. But Muslim holidays are different, though. They come different months. Yeah, different months, different days, everything.
Yeah.
Ramadan was like, wasn't it August last year?
Yeah, August.
It was August, and this year it's July. And next year it's probably going to be like June, right?
Oh,
every year
yeah.
It goes back, right?
Yeah. No, because last year it was like always, it was August for a while now.
Yeah.
So.
I'm talking about Ramadan.
You never know.
Started.
The moon. The moon.
My mom told me it's going to go like back or something like that. She did something like that.
You just
next
never
year it's probably going to be like. Oh, I won't talk about it, but she said something like that.
Yeah.
You're very stubborn, you know that? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Huh? What'd you say?
I said you're very stubborn.
Me?
Yep.
No, I'm not stubborn.
I mean, it's not a bad thing. I mean, if you believe anything somebody told you, you just be, I mean, you know.
If I believe anything somebody told me, if I know for a fact it's true, then I'm going to say it's true. But if I'm just
guessing. I'm saying you, like, anything somebody tell you, just believe it. That would
nope.
be kind of like.
I'm sorry.
I'm not saying you would. I'm just saying, like, if you did. Even if I did, if I believed, I'd be a punk. I'm going to be honest. I will be a punk and a loser because I just believe anything. Especially if you didn't research it, you just listen anything.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If they tell me something about the religion, they bring me proof from the Quran, and Sunnah where it clearly states that, then I'm going to believe it. I'm not going to keep not believing it. That's dumb because they give me proof, clear proof.
Yeah, but if they do that, yeah.
Exactly.
I'm not just talking about on a religious level. I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, in general, not on a religious level.
Somebody told me something, they gave me some good proof for it, then I'm going to believe them. Because dumb people, even if they do get good proof, they clearly see it's right. They still going to be, you know, whatever, who cares, whatever. But if somebody gave me some good proof, they gave me a good example, told me everything, and I'm like, wait, that does sound right. Then I'm going to believe them. I'm like, all right, yeah, you're right. And you shouldn't be scared to admit that somebody's right, or you shouldn't be scared to admit that you're wrong. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, darn, Lucia.
Sometimes it's hard to say you're right. I'm not gonna lie.
Who, me or
no? Like people in general. It's like, yeah. Anyway.
It's kind of like admitting that you're. It's admitting your weakness. Admitting you're wrong.
Exactly.
You know? And that's why a lot of people fight it. You know, like when they're wrong, they fight it. They keep fighting.
Exactly.
And that's why, like, whenever somebody admits that they're wrong, not every time, but sometimes they smile. You know. Like, when I'm wrong, I may smile. I would let you know, you're right.
Because
I realize that, whoa, what did I just say? Or she is right, or he is right, you know?
Yeah.
But,
all right, I got to go, so.
Oh, man, yeah. Will?
Yeah. I want to be back, though. All right, assalamu
alaikum. I'm on the phone and I'm doing it with somebody else. You don't get it? I'm co-hosting. You know what that is? Okay, anyways. So, talking about Ramadan, fasting. You are fasting now. Remember this. It's only for, what, how many hours? It's, hold on. Eastern time or Central? So, I'm going to give you, like, a real definition of what fasting is. Fasting is willingly abstaining from some or all food, drink, or both for a period of time. That's fasting. That's like what the English version of it is. Now, an absolute fast is normally defined as not eating food and liquid for a defined period, usually a single day, 24 hours, or several days for some people. I mean, not in Islam, though. That's for some people. Other fasts may be only partially restrictive, limiting particular foods. Like certain religions, like they fast, some of them will just drink water, stuff like that. And that's why, like, when somebody becomes their religion, they be like, can you eat? Can you drink? And they're confused because maybe they used to fast, but they used to just drink water. Or one girl told me, she said that she, when she fasts, she just eats fruit. So basically, she just eat any fruit she wants, and she's fasting. That's how she said she fasts. Eat fruit and water. She wasn't Muslim, but she was some other religion. But yeah. And if you're eating fruit, when you're really thinking about it, though, if you're eating fruit and you're drinking water, what are you basically, you're just abstaining from bad substances in your body, basically. And you're not really learning how it feels to be hungry. You're just eating. So, about to go to a commercial break.
There are over 100 major Muslim and community-oriented radio stations and other media channels, and American Muslim 360 ranks among the top and have been mentioned as a major influencer, the community of Islam. We want to thank you, the listeners, for giving us the distinct honor of being listed in the Dinar Standard 2011 American Muslim Media Report.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
American Muslim 360 is. We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Islamic Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
There are over 100 major Muslim and community-oriented radio stations and other media channels, and American Muslim 360 ranks among the top and have been mentioned as a major influencer, the community of Islam. We want to thank you, the listeners, for giving us the distinct honor of being listed in the Dinar Standard 2011 American Muslim Media Report. American Muslim 360 membership drive is in full swing here in the spring.
We invite you to become members of American Muslim 360 Radio. This will help us provide listeners with high-quality services,
while at the same time positioning us to expand our broadcasting hours. There was no match to American Muslim 360 on the internet.
And your support can help us continue to provide the public with conscientious Islamic points of view and Muslim voices that are informative. Visit AmericanMuslim360.com, click on Members, then click New Members. And adult memberships are $99 annually, $79 for seniors. Join now and receive a special thank you gift from American Muslim 360, a $600 shopping spree.
You can't touch this.
Worth of savings and coupons from national retailers. American Muslim 360 wants to show our appreciation to you, the listener, and our supporters of your number one Islamic-oriented radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Who said everybody's fast to sing? I didn't say that. And I even read the definition of fast. Absolute fast. So what you're saying, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, I said that's not like fasting.
Yeah.
Based on the definition. And not even just Muslims. Based on, you fast if you're not eating. It helps because when you break your fast, whenever you break it, if you break it at sunset or whatever time you break it, it helps because when you eat, you may eat like a small plate of food, or and then once you eat that, you'll be full. You won't be hungry. And I know that based on the every year I fast. So, if I'm fasting in the river, usually I go to the masjid. And I fast, and almost every day, except the days that I can't fast, or I'm sick, something like that, then I don't fast. But the days that I fast, usually when I break my fast, I'm hungry a little bit, but once I eat like a little bit, then I'm full. Now, there are some people that when they break their fast, they just keep eating. They eat. They're not really hungry. They're just eating because they're trying to make up for the whole day. They're trying to put everything back in their system. And when you do that, you can make yourself sick. Consuming all that food at once. So anybody got any questions or comments on that? 6, 4, 6, 7, 1, 6, 4, 7, 8, and 1. Now, when a person has had too much to eat, fasting is the smartest thing you can do. And this is by Mark Sisson, Mark Sidiliaki. If that sounds harsh or unrealistic, consider the story of Scott back in 1965. An obese Scotsman, 27 years old and 456 pounds, came to the Department of Medicine in Dundee, Scotland with a problem. He needs to lose weight. Now I'm reading online. Okay, he needs to lose weight. 1/8 of a ton of it. The doctor suggested maybe not eating for a few days would help. It was just offhand recommendation. But our Scott, known as AB, really took to it. He really decided to fast. He stayed at the hospital for several days, taking only water and vitamin pills while undergoing observations to ensure nothing went wrong. When his time was up, he continued to fast back at home. Returned to the hospital only for regular monitoring. After a week, he was down 5 pounds and feeling good. His vitals checked out, blood pressure was normal, and though he had lower blood sugar than most men, he didn't seem particularly impaired by it. The experiment continued for 382 days.
Yes. AB fasted for 382 days. Drinking only water and taking vitamins, potassium, and sodium supplements. All told, he lost 276 pounds, reaching his target weight of 180 pounds and maintaining the bulk of his weight loss. Over the 5 years of observation, AB regained just 16 pounds, putting him in the excellent but undercompensated schedule. Other doctors paid attention. Maybe it was the fact that it was 16 and also because he suffered low enough. Rebellion in the air, good news in DNA, a war in Vietnam. So, yes, it worked, but does fasting work solely through caloric restriction or is it doing something special? That's the real question. There's no question that fasting causes weight loss through caloric restriction. Obviously, when you don't eat anything, your body turns to its own stored energy reserves that take up physical space and have mass. Dig a bit deeper. I want to tell you how weight loss occurs during a fast. Growth hormone, one of the premier fat-burning hormones, increases during a fast. In the 5-day fasting protocol, men experience increased GH on day 1 and day 5. A later study shows that during 2-day fasting sessions, growth hormones increase in both frequency and intensity in men. So that right there is just some common, that's just common right there, ways of how fasting can help you lose weight. And while you're fasting, it can show you how it feels to be hungry. Show you how other people in the world feel when they can't eat. So, yeah, my guest, one of my co-hosts back on. She want to comment?
Yeah.
Not comment, but she's going to be on with me. Yeah. Oh, we only got 4 minutes. Wow.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Hello, you on?
Cool.
You know, it's 4 minutes left, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, anything you want to say about how weight loss helps fasting?
How what?
How fasting helps weight loss.
Oh, yeah. Unless, like you said, when it's, on the boy's side, you see their men, their plates be just, like, filled up, and they just, like, eat till, like, their stomach hurts every night. That's, you don't gain a lot of weight from that. But if you fasting, you know, don't, like, fill your stomach up too much. Like, don't get, like, too full, like, every night. And then, yeah, you would, like, lose weight.
Now, I was just reading a story online about how this man, he fasts for 382 days, drinking only water and taking vitamin, potassium, and sodium supplements. He lost 276 pounds.
Lost what? How much?
276 pounds.
Wow.
That just tells you how, but he had to take vitamins and stuff, potassium.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if he just fasted for water, he'd just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to put something in him to make sure. But that just shows how not eating can help you, you know?
Yeah.
And it helped him on a spiritual level, exactly.
Exactly.
But it helped him lose his weight, you know? And I'm pretty sure now he feels good as ever.
Exactly.
So it's healthy about his weight, comfortable.
Like, two years ago, me, my dad, my brother, we went on this juice diet. And we did it for 15 days. And it was like, the first 3 days is like, oh my gosh. Because like, all we drink is like this lemon type juice. It's like, okay, not the sweet, like Welch's type juice, like sweet stuff. It's like this like healthy like drink that we just have to drink like all day. And then like Ramadan had came, so we were still doing it. We finished it like our last 5 days. And then when Ramadan came around and we did it, I thought it was going to be the hardest thing. But it was, like, easy because, like, you just get used to it. And, like, first you might smell the food, like, oh, my God, it must be so bad. And after that, you just be like, okay, it's whatever. You don't even care no more because, yeah. But then, like we just, like, drink the juice, like, every day. And then, like, when the sun breaks fast, you just, like, break off fast, like, with the juice. And that was it. And it was pretty easy. It was real easy. Yeah. Yeah, my brother lost like 20 pounds.
Who lost 20 pounds?
Izzy. My brother.
He did? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
Wow. That's good.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's like 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 seconds until she'll end. So, ends, everybody. Tune in next week. We'll be talking more about Ramadan and stuff.
Yeah. Keep calling.
That kind of show, sister.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Muslima Reality Radio Show. Starring Muslima Abdul Rashid.
If you are easily upset, offended, have high blood pressure, a weak stomach, and or no sense of humor, then this is not the show for you. The hosts do not claim to be scholars, sheikhs, or imams. They are simply providing a forum for the sisters. So keep your bit eyes to yourself. Salam alaikum.
Bismillah. Assalamu alaikum, you guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to AM 360. That is American Muslim 360. I'm your host, Kaleem Abdul Rashid. We have Sissy Debbie Shanklin on. Alhamdulillah, opening up her mic, inshallah. And, hey, you guys, you're listening to Muslima Reality, a reality show about real issues, real talk, real topics. And if you hear any glitch, slumbers, misspoke, ebonics, mess up to a letter, repeat, you guys, you hear me say it every Sunday, it is me. But just to know, hey, I might not be the smartest, but know that I'm not the dumbest. And you guys may feel the same. So if any of you guys could be your shahada, you know you are definitely smart. Okay, I'm having all of these, ring is in my ear, so it's a little hesitation there. That's, you know, I'm hearing something in my ear. But you guys, definitely, if you hear anything bad or better, it comes from myself. If you hear anything good, great or sound, it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I have to say it, and we're always said it. We know this. Those that Allah God can miss, no, those that Allah God, no one can miss God. Those that Allah miss God, none can God. Our intentions is with Allah. May Allah reward us for our intentions. Amen. Okay, what's going on over here? Okay, you guys. Assalamu alaikum again. Ramadan Mubarak. The weather here in southern Pennsylvania is 84 degrees. The time is 5:03. We are in the 10th day of Ramadan. I hope you guys are definitely hanging and holding. Definitely today's date is July 29th in our time, but the 10th day of Ramadan, you guys, definitely. Alhamdulillah, I have to say that we pray everyone is feeling good about their accomplishments so far. Thank you, Allah, for giving us the ability to get our worship on, giving up the things we may have wanted to begin, giving up a long time now that we are in boot camp. Yeah, that's what Ramadan is, a form of boot camp, you know, a form of training, but we need it pre-Ramadan. But alhamdulillah, we are here, so I hope you guys definitely making the best of this, your Ramadan. Those that have fasting, those that are fasting for the first time, alhamdulillah, you know, may Allah definitely, you know, accept your fast. And those that have been fasting for years, may Allah accept your fast, definitely. I'm having a lot of noise over here. Okay, you guys. Oh. Okay, let me, I'm going to open Sissy Debbie mic and see if she hear me over here.
Ramadan Mubarak, Kaleema.
Hey, Ramadan Kareem. How are you doing? Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Okay. I am so glad. Not only can I hear you, I am glad to hear you. How's that?
Alhamdulillah, definitely. Thank you. I'm glad to hear you also, Chrissy, God, because you know how we grit it over here. How has your week been going?
Well, you know, it's really good. You know, I'm fasting with you all to support you all, but Allah is kind enough to give me some Ramadan revelations and insights into things in my past like he did last year. And if, with your permission, I'd like to share one.
Definitely.
Is that okay? Okay,
yeah.
Everyone.
When I, between the ages of 11 and years old and 16, my mother was absolutely crazy. She was abusive. She was screaming. This was like a wonderful mother that suddenly just became like a monster. And I never understood it, and I always really was angry about it and this and that. But then something in my head one day clicked, and I said, I remember in her cabinet seeing a prescription for Dexedrine, which is an amphetamine. And I looked up the information on the physician, the PDR book, which is the physician's just reference book, and it talked about that the side effects is how it totally changes your personality.
Wow.
So now I know what happened. I'd never understood what happened, and Allah has been kind enough to give me the insight and to understand, so now I can forgive her because she was not herself. She was on very, whoever prescribed this medication for her, who knows if she had an addiction to it, but I do remember seeing it in her medicine cabinet, but I didn't understand it. I know it was given out for people who had depression before they understood about Prozac and that type of medicine. So this was quite a long time ago. I mean, I'm 60 years old. This was when I was 11 to 15. But just to have that insight now allows me to forgive her and not to be angry anymore. So alhamdulillah, thank you, Allah. You are so kind, though I'm non-Muslim, to gift me with this type of information and insight so I can live a better life.
Yes, that's really nice, Sister Debbie. How do you know you got it before you, or you recognize, or Allah revealed it to you before your death? Because it'll give you a little more ease and a little more comfort, like you say you have to give your mind. So, hey, a lot of us definitely need to seek forgiveness. And, you know, even within ourselves, sometimes we're hard on ourselves. I am a person that I am hard on myself. So we have to sometimes have ease with ourselves, you know, and ask Allah to, you know,
well, it's just, I realize now after reading about the drug that you really do not have control of yourself when you're on it. It makes you very angry, very abusive. It's a stimulant. It's an amphetamine, which is, you know, it's like the slang word would be speed. But that back then in that day, she was suffering from depression, and that's probably the worst thing you can give to somebody with depression, but, you know, because it just totally changes their personality. But I never understood, because she went from a very loving, wonderful mother growing up to this just absolute witch that who screamed and yelled, and she would go up in my room and tear my posters off my wall and throw my records into the sink. You know, it made no sense. It's like she totally lost her mind, and I never understood. And then just a couple of days ago, I was just sitting there, and it's like Allah just opened my head, like, Debbie, remember when you looked at her medicine cabinet and you saw Dexedrine and you did recognize it as an amphetamine? Remember that? I had totally forgotten. So now it's like fitting in the missing pieces.
Wow.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, mashallah. Well,
mashallah.
You have understanding that, definitely. And that's the beauty of Allah. You know, sometimes it takes us times longer than others to get it. It's like our faith, it goes up and down. I mean, we have levels of understanding and levels and degrees. I mean, there are people that have been Muslim a long time and don't have the complete knowledge of the religion, and there's some people that have been Muslim for a short time and have more, you know, knowledge of the religion. But you guys, definitely have to thank you guys again for tuning in and supporting AM360, Missing My Reality. We are here. I'm going to get in my news, take my 60-second shout-out in, and so Missing My Reality Sunday throw-out question, you guys. We have Sissy Zarina Awada. She's the executive director and founder of Culture Cup Food Bank. We're talking about charity rundown and a whole bunch of other things, you guys. Definitely want to call and push one on that phone. That number is 646-716-4478. Again, that number is 646-716-4478 on the chat. It is the chat room is open. It is blogtalkradio.com/AmericanMuslim360, you guys, you hear me say it every Sunday. We are family here. Do not feel out of place. Do not feel out of topic. Push one on that phone. Again, this is what we do. So let me get into some news today. We know that, let me see what I got over here. We know Sharman Hens, we're speaking about that, Sister Debbie, because we had a previous conversation on that. So Sharman Hens, you guys, A.K.A. maybe know better known him as George Jefferson. He had died this week. So, you know, we definitely know from the law that sometimes for law we have to return. We will all definitely taste death. You know, we will all have to return to a law. I say that to say because, you know, at that time, you know, anybody sharing his name, he made us laugh a lot. But I'm sure, you know, every those who followed him, but now that I understand, and I'm sure you guys know better, we laughed out of ignorance. We laughed at a lot of his ignorance because he mainly spoke about that, you know, when you, you know, mainly he talked about, you know, we laughed at, you know, we got to kick out his deviant behavior and on his name calling. Like, you know, he was going to honk you all the time and, you know, name calling. We found that funny, but, you know, in times like these, now that we know better, you know, as Muslims, those things, we get a rise out of the things that are not beneficial to our soul at all. But anyway, from a lot of time, from a lot, we have to return. And he died, I say that to say, because, you know, we'll leave out here one at a time or in groves, so we are up out of here. Again, I say this to say because we have to be easy and careful of the things we're watching and the things we are listening to because they're definitely going to play a witness against us. If it's not a joke, you know, our hands going to play a witness against us for touching things we haven't been touching. Our feet going to play a witness against us for taking us things we haven't taken us places we haven't been going. You guys hear me say this? Our eyes going to play a witness against us and for seeing things we haven't been seeing. Our ears don't play a witness against us for hearing things that we have a business hearing. We know about this problem. The law, he placed that as prison. The teeth is the chain. The teeth is the cage. The lips is the lock. We know that we can't speak good, keep silent, inshallah. We all, none of us are exempt where that tongue is concerned. Y'all, law, definitely have mercy on us all. Okay, the Olympics, we know that the Olympics has begun. You know, may Allah. Hey, there's a lot of Muslims in there, so hey, I'm shouting out for the Muslims. May they win their gold, inshallah. So, yeah, a lot of Muslims holding down the Olympics. You know, they're coming in, mashallah, alhamdulillah. So, yeah, shout out to them, my success. Now, I'm not into the politics just as yet. However, Obama is definitely leading in the polls, you know, despite, you know, the negative campaigning. And, yes, I will be voting for Obama. I live in this country. I make a difference. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it now. So that's that. But anyway, it was a dust storm in Arizona, and it has been reported that there will be more to come, and it's just like, wow, like, yeah, I have been in a dust storm. Sister Debbie, have you ever been in a dust storm?
No, I haven't.
Wow.
Have you?
Oh, yeah, I have been in one.
What's
yeah.
it like? Tell
yeah.
me.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a big puff of cloud and smoke, and, you know, keep your mouth closed because you're sitting out there. Don't have on light clothes. But, I mean, because you're coming out dirty, dusty. I mean, it's a big puff of smoke. And when I seen it, I was like, wow, you know, Allah is like, wow. You know, the angel Michael is the angel that controls the weather. So, you know, when I seen that dust storm, I'm like, wow. You know, a lot of people haven't experienced this. But, yeah, it's like a big squish of wind just coming at you, dusty, but yeah, real bad. But anyway, our sister that's going to be on, she's from Arizona. I want to see if she's going to tell us about it. And Shalom, if she missed it, I don't know if we know Arizona's day. But my 60-second shout out and also is the annual Ramadan flea market giveaway. It's a public event. It's hosted by Naima Jawad. When is it? Saturday, August the 4th. The time is 9 o'clock a.m. to 2 o'clock p.m., where it is Cuba Institute, that's 4637 Lancaster Avenue, that's Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, that's 19131, that's to get good, you guys, to give you directions, and you guys, should you have any items in good conditions that you definitely want to give away or earn extra blessings, definitely in this blessed month around Ramadan, you guys can definitely come and add to or come away with some blessings. I think this is cute. I love it. Very cute idea. Much stuff that you guys can go to the book under the annual Ramadan flea market giveaway. And hey, inshallah, like I said, that's very cute. During the month of Ramadan, we know the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very generous in this month. So, yeah. Now, my Muslim Sunday throw out question is, when you are around a group of Muslims, do you feel you fit in or do you feel like the thumb on the hand? So I'm shooting that out there to you guys. If you want to call in on it, you can. I got this question from someone again. some treatment out there for you guys. I have my take on it, but I'll tell you guys later on in the show. But definitely, most of my reality time to throw out questions. Guys want to call in on it. Question is, again, when you are around a group of Muslims, do you feel you fit in, or do you feel like it's someone to hang? You guys can call it out at 646-716-4478. Again,
oh, I have to comment on that.
Okay, 716. Yes, I was going to ask you that also. Again, that's 646, you guys, 716-4478. The chat room is open. But yeah, Sister Debbie, I mean, you're anonymous. How do you feel about that? I mean, because it's for the Muslim.
I feel every time I'm with Muslims, I feel like I'm with my family.
That's very nice.
I kid you not. I am so comfortable with Muslims. I just feel such a sense of belonging and being with them. And they can be all different types. They can be from different countries. They can be American. Immediately when you see somebody with a hijab and you say, Assalamu alaikum, oh, my God, just the wonderful magic that happens, just the instant connection. So, alhamdulillah, yes. No, I'm just saying, yes, I feel very comfortable around. In fact, sometimes I feel more comfortable around Muslims than I do around non-Muslims. So, alhamdulillah.
Definitely. Okay. So, again, if you guys want to call it, like I said, I had my take on it. Someone had, you know, had a deep conversation about this. So I said, okay, I'm going to put it out there. We're looking at my reality. It's time to throw out questions, guys, who are just turning in. Again, if you want to call, then you guys can push one on the phone and let us know how you feel and or others feel, definitely. Anything you want to talk about, this month of Ramadan, anything you want to give back, anything that you feel, how is it feeling in your Ramadan, you know, what are you getting out? I know some of our stomachs and our back. I know mine should be about 7 o'clock, 7:30, 8:50, but anyway. The Muslim of Reality Sunday throw up question is, when you are around a group of Muslims, do you feel you fit in, or do you feel like there's someone on a hand? Anyway, our guest, if my guest wants, this is Lorena, if you're on, push one on that phone so I definitely know that you are open, and we will bring you into the conversation. And we'll just kick it open just like that. You guys, again, do not feel out of place, do not feel out of topic, and hey, this is what we're going to do. So, I'm going to I don't see her number. Again, let me see. What's the new how to work my devices the way I want to, which I can. So now I have to find. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to maybe post the 50 app. I have to come up here and get this number. Shop. Write this number down on this piece of paper. If some of us get saved right, I know I'm a little better now myself. Okay. So I'm going to call her live on air and see if we can get her through. So let me see. I'm going to work this out. Okay. Now I'm going to do this. I'm going to put the number in. So let's see how we're going to work this out. We're going to dial. Did it go through for me? Okay, it's going to be there. Okay.
What's happening?
I'm working it out now. I'm down.
Okay.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay, let me see if.
Food bank located at 537.
Okay, she's here. Let me see. I don't know if she's here. Let me open her mouth and see if she's going. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Wednesday, 8:30 to 2, Thursday, 11:30 to 4 o'clock, and Friday, 8:30 to noon. The food bank is not open on Saturday. We have a free medical clinic on Saturday.
Okay, that's an answering.
You're welcome to
come. Yeah, that's an answer. That's an answer. You're not trying to.
Well, let me.
I'm trying to mute this right now. I'll shut down. Well, we're going to keep it moving like that, you guys. That was my guest. This is Arena. She's from the Arizona area. She says she's going to hold the show now. She's the executive director and founder of Culture Cup Food Bank. So it would be something nice for us to discuss and or talk about, since we're talking about charity and all the things that we can do in this month of Ramadan. We know, again, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was definitely generous, extra generous in this month of Ramadan. So, hey, you guys definitely give back, you know, save yourself. If you save yourself from the hellfire, even if it means by giving a few dry dates, you know, give anything, whatever. Give a time worth, you know, pay, give a pair of shoes. You know, I'm sure us as women, we have a lot of shoes that we just, you know, spare one pair, a overgarment. Hey, give an overgarment. I'm sure we have a lot of overgarments because a lot of us are materialists. You know, it's just something about our character as human beings. We love things. We love things. You know, we love nice things. We love material things. So I'm sure you definitely can spare. Hey, invite someone over for iftar, inshallah. You know what I'm saying? Give something. Make someone day. Smile. Call someone up. Go down your Rolodex. You know, push your mama down a little better. Just pull it. Just pull it if you want. You know, inshallah. But definitely give it up. We know giving in charity should, if you want Allah to give to you, give definitely in charity because Allah will definitely grant barakah, which is blessing and your sustenance. So definitely give of what you have if you want to receive. You know, we don't always want to have the upper hand. We want the lower hand also. But go ahead, Sister Debbie. You were great. Say something for us.
Well, I was just thinking today, a thing, alhamdulillah, came over me today. It wasn't just with my mother that I could forgive her, but I felt this overwhelming sense of understanding. This is my Ramadan revelations, Allah is kind enough to give me, of people that have done me injustice or wrong in my life, and to just, for the first time ever, I feel I can forgive them. I can let go of it, and I understand now that hurt people, and this doesn't excuse predators. Those are something different. But people that where you've had an injustice or something wrong, it is better, instead of trying to take matters in your own hand, just to let Allah handle it. Because Allah is the best of all planners and knows how to deal with those things. And this was just a very freeing thing that happened to me this morning that I experienced.
Yeah, that was wonderful, Sister Debbie. Is your mother still living there, Anne?
My mother?
Yes.
No, she passed away about 7-8 years ago. Yeah. But now I understand because I know what amphetamines do to people. I've seen it. I just recently saw it here with a friend of mine that got addicted to something called Adderall, and he just got paranoid and crazy and started yelling and just, I mean, I've never, it's like he was not human, and I've never seen anybody act that way. And so somehow experiencing that with my friend and seeing how an amphetamine can do that to you, I also can see now how that's what was happening with my mother, because she just had a complete change of personality. And here it was, that was very hard for me to understand, because as a mother, she was so loving and just wonderful growing up. And then suddenly these, you know, I gather she suffered from depression, and these doctors back then, it was very medieval, you know, the medicines, the things they prescribed. And I do remember something which is no longer on the market called Dexamil, which was dexedrine amphetamine, which is a very hot, strong amphetamine with a sort of like a Valium to it. And just that combination just could really mess up a person's mind and their perception of things. And now that I know what happened to her, I can forgive her and realize that she was not someone that was trying to be a horrible person in my life. She just had no control. Because when drugs, as everyone knows, when drugs take you over, that's the trouble with addiction and so on, and alcoholism. It just, you become a different person. That's why Allah does not ask us not to take drugs and not to drink.
Alhamdulillah, I'm definitely can understand. I told you, a little similar story with me. I'm coming up in that same sort of background, and I'm grateful to Allah that I had the opportunity to talk to my mother, and I completely forgive her, you know what I'm saying, because I do not know what type of motivational forces that she had been under. Of course, we know some of them. I don't want to, just blatantly uncovered, but what I do find with the relationship I have with my mother now, I find her constantly keep trying to, kind of remind me of the things that it's kind of like a guilt thing, and I don't really want her to feel that way. I want her to just, leave it alone, let's forget it. We are here now. I mean, it took me 45 years to get here.
Yeah.
But, it took a long time for me, but I'm over it. I'm completely over it. I just am happy that I'm at this point that I can have a relationship with my mother through all my travels and all of my dark days and my dark nights and my loneliness and my trying to find myself and through all the abuse that I've been through. And that is why Allah allowed me to accept Islam. He opened my breast to Islam. I don't know why, just something happened real horrible in my life at one point. I was done with the dunya, and Allah favored me by opening my breast to Islam. I started seeing things a little more clearer, and I started giving up some things that I like and holding on to learning and understanding. So now, because I have that, I can give that to my mother. So I've been showing her with goodness and kindness and love and understanding all of the things that I'm supposed to. She just asked me yesterday. She said, when I told her I was fasting, when she said, "Well, when Eid is over, do you think I can go with you again I forgot what she said. When it's over, can I go with you?" I was like, "Yes, you can, son, definitely." I said, "I'm going to keep you posted so you can know what's going on." She said she would really like to go. So that's a lot for me, because it's really, really, in a bad way, in a bad place. And it's so funny now that through all my travels across the country, out of the country, like I say, just having a relationship with my mother, it is so crazy to see that be that.
Oh, alhamdulillah.
I can actually walk to my mother's house right now. I moved so far away from my family that I was here for many years by myself, and all of my family migrated here because we were so dysfunctional. Now, all of my family is here, and I can walk to my mother's house, and I say this to say, because that is the power of Allah. Oh, my
God. Alhamdulillah.
It's such a beautiful thing. We have to keep our ties with our family, especially the womb that bore us. We know in Islam, paradise lies at the foot of your mother, so it's so much. I'm grateful. I'm overwhelmed. I mean, that's my story, and I'm sure you guys.
Oh, yeah.
They feel it,
Go ahead.
You just said that you just had, your epiphany today.
Yes, yes. For all the people who've hurt me in my life. And I think what happens is when we get hurt, psychologically, we get this defense and this anger, and we let that become our identity in relating to things. And it is such a handicap. It really is. And, for example, my neighbor, she's very angry all the time at everyone and everything. And that is just, people who hurt you, if they're not predators, that's a different story, but if they're not predators and they hurt you, something was wrong with them. It had nothing to do with you. So once we let go of that anger, and I just felt this wave of forgiveness to everybody who has hurt me in my life and what they've done, and it was such a freeing feeling. And alhamdulillah, I thank Allah so much for that. And it was just like such an epiphany today for me this morning. And there's a thing where I felt like I didn't know, used to know how to defend myself, and now I can defend myself. But at the same time, I had the revelation, I don't need to always be defending myself. I don't need to always be fighting out there. If it needs be, Allah will allow me to be able to defend myself. But basically, I don't have to be that 24/7.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay.
Is your baby.
Yeah, he told me, you got the radio show? I said, no. He said, well, don't lock your door. I haven't been back. Back up there. But,
oh, my God.
I really love,
oh, my
yeah,
God.
So, if you guys again want to call in, you guys let us do the talking.
Come in. Talk to us.
Yeah, support, definitely. Again, we're in the month of Ramadan. You know, our energy levels are kind of low, alhamdulillah, but we are here. But we're speaking about charity or anything you guys want to talk about. I'm hoping that the sister would, excuse me, come through. So, Sister Zarina of the Muslim Word is that it didn't cast in hand. I just spoke to you. Said you was coming through. So, mashallah, hey, we know that everything. Hey, well, mankind's saying the law is the best plan. So, I'm going to put the best instruction on it and say that something must have happened because I just spoke with you. So, that's definitely so. Anything, anywhere I want to speak about, you know, some little notes I made about the charity. We know that. A true story, I was on the phone with her sister, and she said she can't stand, so she wanted to meet someone. So we were on the phone speaking, and she said, excuse me, I didn't know if she was speaking to me or another person. So she called the person over to her, and she said, you know, it looked like someone that was in need. So she asked the person, was they in need? So they said, no, I'm going to skip and then come back. We know that one of the signs of the time for nearer to the end, people will not accept charity. But anyway, she asked this person, she says, are you in need? Are you hungry or anything? So the person was like, no, I'm not really in need, but yeah, I could be there. She said, well, you know, she looked at her. I guess, you know, the sister judged her based on how she looked and what she had on, and I guess she felt as though she was in need. So the sister said, well, the woman said, I can use the money. Long story short, the sister gave her a $20 bill, and she was like, I'm fasting. This is the month of Ramadan. I'm a Muslim. She said, look, she said, did you hear of Muslim and Islam? And the woman said, yeah. She said, it's a beautiful religion. She said, look it up. She said, don't ever forget it. You know, she just went on to this film. It kind of touched me for doing it. And I say that to say because we know that giving charity, and it's discreet and undisclosed is best, definitely. I know you guys that a lot of people give charity. They want to be seen by others. They have to have their picture taken. You know, they want to be known. That's good in some cases. However, you know, discreet and undisclosed is best. But you can do it in the open to let others add or encourage others to do the same. So I thought that was very nice of her to do that. I was like, wow, you know, I don't know if she did it intentionally to have me on the phone, but hey, you guys definitely give. We know that is a part of our pillars. We believe in five pillars, and one is taking your Shahada, you know, believing that there is only one God, and accepting the Prophet Muhammad as the last and final messenger, meaning Adam being the first, the Prophet Muhammad being the last, you know, they all linked in the chains, us accepting it with sincerity, with believing Salat, we pray five times and or more a day. So only one God that is the creator of everything that exists. Charity is which we're speaking about, and Shadow Gun Charity, we get what, 2.5 about a year, and we're just not with the Sadaqa, but we give of ourselves, keeping yourself from haram or harmful things or misconduct or bad conduct or evil deeds. Those things are a part of charity, helping someone out, moving something out, harmful out someone's way, helping them up, you know, helping them up, period, you know, is a form of charity. May Allah definitely bless us all for all the things that we're trying to do to build a good bank account, have a good report card, definitely do it, get it in. We believe in fasting during the month of Ramadan, which we are in now. We have to fast once a year, well, and or more. We can get it in on Mondays and Thursdays. The gates of paradise are open on those days. So it's good to get those fasts in. Just some fasting for some to keep yourself from some harmful things, like if you have bad habits or, you know, hey, fast. you have sexual tendencies and you can't hold yourself fast. If you go, I'm just learning to keep your mouth closed. You go, a talker, I am fast. You know, inshallah, didn't you do this? You can get it up. And last but not least, we pilgrimage to the house, the Haram, which is in Saudi Arabia. It's the first prayer house built on earth. It was established, the foundation was established by Adam. The foundation was built by Abraham, his son Ishmael, alhamdulillah. It stands today, inshallah. Let me make it, oh Allah. And if I don't make it, maybe you reward me for my intentions, because I say I want to make it there one day. I just was at the masjid yesterday, 50,000, and a sister came back from over there, her and her mom. And she says, and she was there for years, so you know she had a lot of stories. So it was like overwhelming listening to her story, because just the growth and the experience and some of the things that we see or believe and or hear, we would definitely have to be there, you know, listening to her story to experience it. Because, you know, things ain't always as they proceed, you know. She did say one thing, she did say she took the Haram, the Kaaba, for granted, because she did do Umrah and she did do Hajj, but she was there for almost a year, so she took it for granted. You know what I'm saying? Some people just want to make it once in their lifetime. So she said that, you know, kind of, you know, take it for granted. So can you imagine those people that live there? They just they take it for granted, like we would. You know, it's part of, you know, human nature. Talking about your epiphany, Sister Debbie, I was just, you know, catching one or taking a glimpse of myself. And I called the show. I called someone's show yesterday. She had Dr. Bilal Phillips on. And I to ask them, you know, a question, you know, where I was concerned. And one of the things that he told me that I took from what he said was, you know, migrate. That's a long story short to one of the questions I asked. If you guys are in a place that you don't want to be in a space, and rather than your community, rather than your mental, rather than your surroundings, migrate. Allah says it's earthly spacious, you know, for you to find a place to worship Him. We're not saying go put yourself in harm's way, because a lot of people want to go overseas now. There's a lot of people overseas want to come here, but the earth is spacious for find a place to worship Allah, inshallah. Now, another thing he has said, when we in prostration, I mean, when we make it to life, he said, when we between, from each sajda, we are, some of us may take this for granted. And I was like, wow, when we in sajda, you see how the Muslims take for life, right, Sister Debbie?
I'm sorry?
Sajda is when we down on all 7 points, is when we down with our face on the ground. That's when we in sajda.
Oh, okay.
You seen the Muslim sajda, right?
I'm having trouble hearing you. You're not very clear.
And so you have seen the Muslims pray?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
I feel the energy of it, too.
Yeah, so when we're down in sajda, we go down and we come up. We go down. Sajda is when your face is on the ground. All 7 bones are on the ground. That's a whole other self thing. So it's when your face is on the ground. All 7 points are on the ground. And when you come up, so it was you in a sitting position. So with that, you ask Allah for forgiveness. And he had mentioned that we kind of take that for granted, because we go down and come up so fast that in that position, we are actually seeking forgiveness for Allah, with Allah. And I was like, wow, because some of us may, you know, handicap, you know, we're not supposed to, you know, go through our lot fast, take your time. Some of us, and I'm speaking about self, may have to start all over again, because you may miss some of those things or miss some let's just say saying a ayat, or, you know, join your tashahud, you may leave something out, or just be salat, you may have to, you know, check and purify yourself, even in your wudu, you know, before that, your intention. So there's a lot of things. Allah had mercy on us. The sister asked me that way. She said, being a Muslim, is it hard? Because you don't have to do so much. You when you make salat, you have to do this, but you have to, you know, just so much. But I'm saying, had it been taught to us as a child, you know what I'm saying, it would come up so natural you wouldn't just jump into thinking that, oh, my goodness, you have to do a whole Olympic tryout to win this goal. So, mashallah.
Yeah, but think of the rewards.
Yeah,
think of the rewards, you know, if you're able to do that. That's why I've told you this, and I often feel I'm not good enough to be a Muslim because I am so impressed with the love and the decency and the whole faith and everything of Muslims. But for myself, I just, you know, I don't know if I could ever be that good myself. That's something.
Right.
Well, that's just something, you know. That's why I said people ask why I'm not Muslim. Well, one thing, God has not opened my heart up. Allah has not opened my heart up. But the thing is, I don't know if okay, let me go back. When Muslims ask me why I'm not Muslim, I say, God has not opened my heart up to be Muslim, which is true. The other thing is when non-Muslims ask me that, I say, I don't think I'm good enough.
Yeah, and you should never feel as though you're not good enough, Sister Debbie, because if Allah opened your breath to Al-Islam, it's because he favored you and he loved you. And he said those that he loved, he opened their breath to Al-Islam. So there's a lot of us coming from dark backgrounds. I'm one. I thought I wasn't good enough as a non-Muslim. You get good enough as a Muslim, but Allah favored me. And once he favored me, that was an overwhelming love that, you know, no, it's worth more than silver and gold and money can't buy. You're going to find flaws in everyone. I mean, no matter how beautiful you think this religion is, it is tainted. You know, it has to be the way it has to be because of the test that we are tested with in order for us to grow. So no one is going to be perfect because we wouldn't need a law. Only a law is perfect. So you will never completely get it 100% right, 60W, but the trying and the beauty, we all bring something to the table. So you bring your beauty. I bring my beauty. The next
person
brings their beauty. You know, so it's a collective thing. It's a joint effort, and we do this as a form of humanity. Just non-Muslims and Muslims alike is that connection that we have with Allah. It's the reason why we get along the way we do. Maybe not even on a wholesale, but just even in a group. So,
well,
yeah.
I got to say, it's because of knowing Muslims that today I was able to forgive everybody that's hurt me in my life.
Yeah.
I never would have done that if I hadn't been introduced to Muslims. So,
yeah.
Alhamdulillah. And also being able to recognize where Allah gives me these gifts.
Exactly.
He gives
we
me these
realize,
gifts.
We have to realize that we may have hurt people also along the way. So.
I faced that today, too. I faced in my, you know, it was a whole thing that was happening for an hour this morning with me, alhamdulillah. And it's just like suddenly I realized about my mom. I realized about people that have hurt me and everything. And that I, for the first time, I never in my whole life till this day could forgive them. And I was able to forgive them today and to let it go and maybe even understand. But then, of course, also I reflected where I hurt people, where I did that, and I was able to own up to that, you know, alhamdulillah, able to own up to it and to understand, yes, I've done things too, you know, and it was not always my intention, but it happened. And basically Allah has freed me from that too, so alhamdulillah. So I also ask forgiveness from people that anybody out there that I have hurt in my life, you know, and because of whatever situation I was in at the time.
Yes, definitely. Now, you guys, if you want to call in on the Muslim Reality Sunday Throw Out Session.
Talk to us.
When you are around a group of Muslims, do you feel you fit in or do you feel like a feather on the hand? Again, I had this conversation with someone and they, you know, approached me with that. So I say I'm going to throw it out there. Again, you guys want to call in on number, give you my cell when I finish. But again, you guys, the number is 646-716-4478. Again, that number is 646-716-4478. And the chat is blogtalkradio.com/MicanMuslim360. The lines are open. The chat room is open. Get your questions, comments, concerns. I got nine. These love lambs. Get it out. Support us, inshallah. Definitely. I guess we're going to do this until the wheels fall off. So, we are here, you know, again, by the time Mr. Hamza, we got to inshallah to him and his family. May they have a blessed Ramadan. And I thank you for on vacation this week. So, So, you know, may he have a safe and blessed Ramadan, definitely, inshallah. But me, my take on do you feel, you know, when you're around the Muslims, when you're in a group of Muslims, do you feel, you know, do you feel like you're fasting? Do you feel like you're fell on the hand? To me personally, that is actually with an individual. Maybe, you know, you are shy. Maybe you're not, introvert. You're more of an introvert than an extrovert, you know.
Yeah, introvert, extrovert.
Yeah. So you may feel, you know, some type of way, but we separate our stuff. The men's with the men and the women with the women. So you don't have to worry about the men. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, sir. Stay over there. But when you, to me personally, when you are amongst the Muslim women, you may feel out of place, but, and or if you feel like the thumb on a hand, hey, you still are a part of that hand. Whether you feel like the thumb or not, you still are a part of it. Jump in, pull your sleeves up, share some love. You know, that person, or, you know, the other person may feel the same way. Grab them, hug them, you know, kiss them. You know, shake hands. Use that same hand to shake, you know, and it's all up because with shaking, you know, tons are dropped from, you know, both parties. So shake that hand, you know. It doesn't matter if you feel like the thumb of the hand or not. That's how I do it when I go on a masjid. At one point I did, but now I go on a masjid and I'm like, hey, assalamu alaikum. I hug, I kiss, I shake, I talk, I, you know, I just make my rounds, you know, like, you know, we had iftar. You been going to any of the iftars, Sissy Debbie?
No, I haven't made it to any iftars yet, but I've been asked to definitely come to one on August 3rd, because that's when they're going to have all the non-Muslim delegates and elected officials come, and they want me there. They've asked me if I would definitely make an appearance there, so I'm definitely doing that.
Okay. At the MCC, do they have any iftars?
Oh, yes, they have an iftar every night. I just, for some reason, this time, I just have not had the chance to make it yet, but I'm still fasting, and you know, the days are getting easier.
Yeah, so hard
at first. Oh my God, I was just like, I say, there's no way I'm gonna make it this time. But alhamdulillah, you know, as a sister Mahasin, one of the listeners here, said to me, she says, just every morning wake up with the intention of fasting, and
yeah,
then Allah will do the rest. And
right.
There was one day I did mess up on. I couldn't make it through the last 2 hours. But now I feel confident I can definitely make that one up after Eid and everything. So,
yeah.
You know, alhamdulillah. And I don't know. I'm just I am just such a lucky non-Muslim to know you Muslims. I mean, alhamdulillah. I mean, how this happened to me at this time in my life, I do not know, but I am so grateful for it, because it really has opened my eyes and changed my perspective and look at things. And I have so many good sister friends, you know, and Muslim brother friends now, and I love the people on American Muslim 360, the hosts and the listeners and everything. So I'm very grateful to all of you for, you know, accepting me as a member of this community.
Mashallah. Are we supposed to be invited? The best way we could talk about Islam is how we live it and how we get it. So we have to, you know, approach, you know, the people as, you know, as best in character. Now I was with my kids today at the market, and they was all over the place. And I'm like, what is wrong with this picture? I mean, I pulled them to the side. I was like, we are supposed to be the best of mankind. Why is we looking like we don't fit in here? I had my kids, they were stepkids, and they was all over the place. And I'm like, I'm over here fast food. I can't raise a voice, and I can't see people screaming. I'm like, get over here. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So they told me to get outside, and I'm like, you guys, we are Muslims. They're looking at me like, well, what's the problem? We do this all the time. I'm like, you guys, calm down, please, relax. I mean, it was all over the place. And mine is 2 of them 6 and 1 of them 3. So that's the thing.
Well, then you have to think, what does Allah want me to learn from this situation? Because I feel Allah is always teaching us, and I often feel, you know, when we're open and we do something which I call reading sign language, recognizing signs that are being told to you, to do things like that time, well, just back 4 years ago where I was just driving in an area I'd never driven before and I saw the Muslim Community Center, alhamdulillah, you know, and it was just like, definitely, I could have just gone on, but instead I felt, no, this is a sign, I need to go in there. So, yeah, I'm very grateful, that's all. I'm very happy. I get emotional thinking about it.
Definitely. Everything happens about this number long. We definitely know that. Nothing happens about, you know, by chance. It wasn't no miracle, nothing like that. It happens that way. So, mashallah.
And I was agnostic originally. I've been agnostic most of my life, you know, and it wasn't until seeing these miracles and seeing these signs and so on that I realized, oh my God, there is a God, there is Allah. And I do, I give him, alhamdulillah, I give him the credit now for all the wonderful things that happened to me, where it could be something as small as getting a backpack for $5 that's something that would have cost $50 in a store retail to much bigger things like understanding what happened with my mother. So there's nothing too big or too small for Allah to reveal to you and to teach you and for you to learn from that and become closer to him. So, alhamdulillah, mashallah.
Yeah, and it's great that you recognize, you know, because a lot of people out there, you know, could see but I'm blind, they're just living and walking aimlessly. I mean, I'm speaking about my loved ones. I mean, I've been, you know, only Allah makes Muslims, I mean, so I just had
only Allah makes Muslims, yeah.
Only Allah makes Muslims, I mean, no matter how bad you love someone, you know, you certain things you cannot be given to you. You cannot be given the paradise. You have to work for it. So, mashallah. My guest, I think this is my guest right here. 6-4-2.
Oh, good. Alhamdulillah.
Let me open up a mic. Assalamu alaikum. This is Serena.
Wa alaikum assalam. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Alhamdulillah. Did we mess our times up?
Alhamdulillah, I'm not sure. I'm a little bit early, I think. It's not quite 3. It's about 5 till 3. So
maybe my goodness.
Early.
You know what, me and you must have messed our times up because
really?
we've been going now for an hour.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Assalamu alaikum, sister.
It's 3 o'clock here, and it's not quite 3. I'm just getting up. I've been waiting until 3. I could have been on.
Oh, goodness. So that means it must have been 2 o'clock. How many hours are you back? For
us.
I'm thinking
too. That's like 3 hours, I guess.
It's 3 hours. Wow.
Yeah, we thought it was 2 hour difference. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I am so sorry. I apologize.
No.
Right here
waiting. That's on both of us. That is, I say, that's, I called the number 2 and I didn't even know I didn't call you, Stella. I called the other number. Yeah.
Oh, and that was work number and I wasn't there. I'm at home.
Yeah, I should have called that number. And I'm saying the 602. So I'm just glad you are here. So that is great. So everything happened by the permission of Allah. Maybe Allah didn't want to drain you out during your fast.
That's all right. Yeah. Alhamdulillah.
But how you doing? How's the weather out there?
Very hot.
Any dust storm?
Yes, very hot. We are in the 3 digits here.
Wow, 3 days. Wow, mashallah. So now I'm seeing on the news that they had a dust storm. Did you get any of that or near it?
Just a little bit. You know, every evening we have something they call the monsoons, and so you get a little bit of a storm, wind, and rain. So we had a little bit of that. So
right,
we're in that monsoon season.
Wow. So I forgot, what part of Arizona, though, were they thinking that they had dust storms? I've seen it on the weather.
It's kind of like Maricopa County, Arizona. Get the real dust storms go out there a lot, so it's kind of going more north.
North. Have you ever been in a dust storm? Cause I was
I got caught in one, and it's horrifying, really.
Yeah.
You can't sing, and you're on the freeway driving, and it's just pitch dark and sand blowing. You know, you don't know whether to stop or keep going. It's terrible.
Yes, I'm like, wow, that lets me know the power of Allah, because I'm like, oh, my goodness.
I know.
Yeah.
I had
go ahead.
sister that was visiting with me, and I was taking her to meet another sister who lives out in Maricopa, and we were stuck in the car together, and she kept saying, "Are we going to make it? Are we going to make it?" And I said, "Allah is in charge, so don't worry. We'll get out of here."
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, this is crazy. Like I said, close your eyes, close your mouth. I was actually standing out. I was trying to get to my destination walking, so you can imagine it was like, wow, it was an experience, so I took it as a wow, you know, because I was visiting also. I was I was in Bakersfield. It happened in Bakersfield, California, so yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I know Bakersfield get like that, too.
Yeah, tumbleweeds and everything. I'm like, well, I ain't never seen a tumbleweed except when it hit me in the weapon. This is real.
And I'm coming in so late. I really feel bad about that because I was really looking forward to it. So maybe we can do it again.
Yeah, we can. But we're going to get you. I want you to. We talking about charity and anything else you want to talk about. We know you definitely is the executive director and co-founder of Culture Cup Food Bank
and Free Medical Clinic.
Oh, that's
Wow, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, it's a blessing, really. I mean, we've been able to help so many people now. And the doctors, we have about 10 doctors now who are all volunteer doctors. And they come Saturday and volunteer their time. We rotate, so there's different doctors each week.
Wow, that is so nice. So that is definitely giving back. How long have you been doing this? How long have you been in business with this?
Culture Cup Food Bank, we're in our 10th year now, and we added on 4 years ago, so we've been doing the clinic for 4 years now.
Wow, that's great. That's getting it in. In medical, do you have any friends in medical? Or what made you go into the food bank and medical? That's a joint effort. That's really nice.
Yeah, well, actually, because we saw so many families coming in that they were, not only did they need help with food, but they were sick. And, you know, a lot of times we just, have you seen a doctor? And most of them would say, I don't have insurance, or I lost my job. I don't have, you know, I can't afford my insurance. And so there were a lot of people that were sick, and we kind of knew a lot of doctors. There are a lot of doctors in this area from Pakistan and from other parts of the country. So I just talked to a few of them. I said, what do you think about having a free clinic? And we could do it in the food bank. So they jumped for the idea, and we started it. Started out pretty small, but now it's overwhelming. Now we're looking for a bigger building, and we're also trying to get funding to open up another area for the clinic because it's too many people now.
Wow, that is so nice. Mashallah. I mean, I was just reading the hadith. We know that one of the signs of Thomas that people don't accept, people are not going to accept Thomas. So that's alhamdulillah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
You were saying about...
Go ahead.
I didn't understand your statement. I'm sorry. My throat's a little dry. But you were saying about sadaqa?
Yeah, the sadaqa. Because you give them back. You give them back. I mean, with the food bank. How did it actually work? I mean,
In terms of getting the support from the community, you know, for a long time we were really struggling with that, and most of our support was coming from the non-Muslim community. But I don't know what happened. Allah only knows. But this year we have really gotten a tremendous amount of support from the Muslim community.
Wow.
It's almost like we just discovered. Like,
wow.
And we're going to open doors for people to come and volunteer. And we've been doing a lot of marketing things now. And I think the word is getting out more. So a lot of the Muslim families are coming out to help and to also financially support, too.
Alhamdulillah, to get the Muslims out there.
Man. Yeah, alhamdulillah.
Get out there, yes. We have to struggle with that in the support area. So I'm sorry that I have to say that, but we have to get out there and support one another as much as we can. So how big is the population over there as far as the Muslims? Because I'm maybe people in Congress.
Number-wise, there's quite a few now. We started out with a very small population of Muslims when I first moved here, and I moved from the Bay Area, California, in 1985. I've been here since then, and the community was very small, and you know, there's hardly any Muslims here at all at that time. And now, I mean, we have about four Eids here in Arizona, because and within the Phoenix, Chandler, Mesa, all those small town areas, because there's about 20 masjids now, where when I first came, it was only one. Two, actually. Two masjids. Yeah, so now we've got a 20, and so at the Eid where I go to, they always count at least 15,000 Muslims at that Eid.
Woo! That's alhamdulillah.
Yeah,
alhamdulillah.
I mean, it has really grown, but lately, you know, a lot of people are kind of moving out because of the job situation and the economy.
Yeah.
So we've lost a lot of good donors because of that. You know, they've had to move in order to get better employment. Some of our doctors have moved to Chicago and Detroit. They were able to get in hospitals there and make a little more money rather than trying to find a job here. It's been very difficult. So, you know, we've seen... the economy is the way things are right now. It's very hard, you know. So Muslims, we're encouraged to give, you know, and to zakat is the third pillar of our faith. So we have to do this. And if we do it more, we can help each other more.
Definitely, because it's the hadith to say, give sadaqah, charity, without delaying, for it stands in the way of calamity. So, and that is by charity. And it said, every day the sunrise, charity is due on every joint of a person. So, give, whatever you have to give. Like I said, smile, help. Do you have any volunteers that volunteer?
Yes, we do. We have quite a few volunteers, both from the Muslim and non-Muslim community. And a lot of times people have to do community service, you know, through either their schools or their, you know, if they might have gotten a ticket or something like that, and they have to do community service. So we get a lot of volunteers through that source, as well as, you know, coming from the masjid, a lot of the youth groups will come through and do volunteer service. So we do get a lot of volunteers. We're really grateful for that, because without the volunteers, we wouldn't exist. Because we're all volunteers. Actually, none of us are on a paid salary, including myself. Everything is volunteer. Yeah, all of our doctors, everybody's volunteering.
MashaAllah, man, Allah definitely rewards for the give back. That is huge. A lot of people want to get paid, you know, and don't work. You know.
Yeah,
so,
it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Some people don't even understand the concept of volunteerism. They look at us like, are you crazy? What are you doing? You're just working for nothing?
I get that all the time. I get that even with this show. Like, you're doing this show, you know, you don't get paid, so.
Right.
And, you know, what we're looking for is worth more than silver and gold. You know what I'm saying? Money cannot buy it. So.
That's right.
I'm a hairstylist. I've been in the business now for 23, 24 years. I don't know how long. I can't even count. But I give dawah. I've been in Muslim now for, I don't know, 17, 18 years. So I'm giving dawah. I do it all the time. They're giving me a mic. I said, okay. I mean, there I am. So, mashallah, you know, my pay that I'm looking for, no one can give me what I'm looking for. I just, you know, pray that. Yeah, my reward is with Allah. You know, if this should end tomorrow, alhamdulillah. You know what I'm saying? So, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
So
I see it the same way, sister. I totally agree.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, my reward is with Allah. I mean, But you in the heart of Arizona. You in Phoenix. So you get to see you in the city. You get to see the heart of the people. You deal with the people.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah, every day. I mean, we have at least 400 families per week coming through there.
Wow, that's a lot.
A lot. And so, I mean, we see the people, their needs, you know, what they're going through. And it's, you know, it's a sad situation when you don't have jobs and you don't have the income. And a lot of people need help with a lot of things that we don't financially aren't able, except for when we do get every year we try to apply for a grant through Islamic Relief, and we have been able to get a grant each year for zakat, and that zakat doesn't last very long.
So
many people, you know, you can only help a few people out of that. We try to help those who are really, really in dire need, and they have some means of being able to help themselves, because we don't want to make people dependent. You know, we want to help them help themselves later on.
Exactly. Exactly. And a lot of people, you know, they, like you said, you have to be able to help yourself, because you, I, anyone that's are in a given position can only give for so much. You know?
Yes.
I mean, there's others in need. But it's, even if you feed someone, if you have enough for two, you have enough for three. But if you have enough for two, you do not have enough for ten. It's just not, doesn't make sense, you know. So,
right.
Have you got anything over there, Patricia Serena?
Yes. What did you say? I didn't hear you.
I said, you have anything over there at Cookie Dabby? You have anything over there?
Oh, no, I'm just enjoying this. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Walaikum salam.
I appreciate what you're doing. It's actually, the rewards of volunteer work are far more than if you were actually paid money.
That's true.
Exactly.
I mean, alhamdulillah, because... And Abdullah, thank you, Allah, for putting us in positions where we can volunteer.
Right.
I do a lot of volunteer work myself at the Muslim Community Center, and the rewards I've gotten in the last 4 years, I could never even begin to count. So, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Not that, you know, we don't want to say that volunteerism, people don't need income, because we
do. Oh, no, but
a lot of our volunteers definitely need an income. You know, we all do.
Yes,
but
yes.
But the, like you said, the blessings that come from volunteering, is, you know, we can't even talk about it.
Well, there was one place where I volunteered at, and it actually turned into a job for 9 years.
See,
with income.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it didn't start out that way, but it was just,
right.
Alhamdulillah, they recognized my value, and they offered me a paid position, which I did for 9 years until the economy tanked,
yeah.
You know. But that's
yes.
Okay, because now I'm at the Muslim Community Center, and that's where I do my work.
Oh, great. Where are you in what state?
I'm in Silver Spring, Maryland, sister.
Maryland, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. We have a Muslim community center here. We also have the Muslim Community Center Free Clinic also here, and they are nice. They are wonderful enough to allow me to do a lot of volunteer work with them. So, you know, it's been a great 4-year experience.
Wow, that's a blessing.
And very much a blessing.
Mm-hmm. So, because you're having a Ramadan coming, I know you say you deal with about 400 people in and out, you have to deal with the personality of the people.
I know, hopefully. Really, thank Allah, it's been very, very good. You know, it's been a good Ramadan. And it hasn't been difficult at all, even in this heat. You know, mashallah, we're inside most of the time, and everywhere you go, it's air conditioned. So, we can't complain.
Yeah.
You go from your air conditioned building to the air conditioned car to your air conditioned house.
I'm always surprised at how Allah makes it so easy for us to fast. I mean,
really?
I'm just amazed at that. I can't get over it, because you know the first couple of days are kind of difficult, but then after that, it's just, no, alhamdulillah, it's just like people who aren't Muslim don't understand, you know. I mean, it's just an amazing experience.
Yeah, it's one of the blessings of Ramadan, really.
One of the blessings.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Dr. Bilal Phillips, he was the one yesterday. I called the show that he was on. But anyway, one of the things that he mentioned is that with coming into the month of Ramadan, you know, we need to prepare and, you know, prep ourselves pre-Ramadan, because he said it's not that easy, which it makes sense to just give up all of, you know, jump on this regimen and give up all the things that you know, or just have a balance to go into Ramadan without, you know, those, you know, the thoughts, the evil thoughts, or the people that you had disagreements with, or the,
right.
You know, the family. Just a whole bunch of things that you do pre-Islam, you know, just on a relaxed level, maybe not getting in all of your some extra salats or your tarawih or tashahud. I mean, the tashahud. Ooh, I break that up all the time. But anyway, getting in your extra salats and those things. So coming into Ramadan is not that easy if you haven't been doing those things pre-Ramadan.
Right, you're
so,
right.
You know, it's a regimen. It's a form of boot camp that you, and you have to, you know, because when he was speaking about, the sister actually, her show, she was speaking about there are people that you still in the month of Ramadan, still not speaking to people that you haven't spoken to pre-Ramadan, you know what I'm saying? Or disagreements, just a lot of things. You have to really purify yourself to really get the blessings, or get the full understanding of the meaning of Ramadan. We know the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave so much in this month. He did it to, you know, show us now, to show them then, you know, he was an example to mankind. So we have to definitely, you know, a lot of us, and I was just speaking about Epiphany, Sissy Debbie, it just hit me just now, like, wow, do I really understand Ramadan? You know what I'm saying? Do we really understand? Well, because it's just one of our pillars, but this thing, we just jump on it because it's here, and you know you can't eat, you know you can't drink, but there's so much understanding with it. It's more than just not eating and drinking and having sex and
right.
Getting upset and all of those things. You have to understand those things. There's a whole form of purification. So we have to really purify ourselves or get in tune with ourselves in order to understand and or get the benefits from this blessed month. So, inshallah, it just hit me like, wow, maybe I definitely need to take a stop. Matter of fact,
alhamdulillah.
Let me ask the sister. We were talking before you came on. We were talking about, for me, like some revelations that have happened during Ramadan that have made me see things clearer. Have you experienced anything like that this Ramadan?
this Ramadan, not yet, but I have had those experiences during Ramadan. And, you know, they've been a blessing, beautiful experiences. I remember one Ramadan, I lost my son, and well, actually, he returned to Allah, and he was very young. And I remember I had gone through so much, and I was still going through Ramadan, the fasting and everything. And I remember just sitting there thinking to myself, goodness, why, you know, so much pressure and stress during this holy month? You know, I'm thinking that you're supposed to go through it with ease. And then the thought just came to me, like Allah just touched me on the shoulder and said, you know, this is what makes you stronger.
Yes.
Pressure and the stress and all that, it makes you stronger. And, you know, you think that you can't bear things, but you can bear more than you think you can. And I realized, I woke up from that thinking, wow, I'm really stronger than I think. You know, I'm not going to crack under all this. And it gave me a lot.
Oh, my God, sister, thank you so much, because I have been going through some stress lately, and that just sort of clarified everything for me. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
What a blessing. Thank you. I felt like that was said just for me. Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
You never know how strong you are until you are tested. And that's a heavy test. I was telling someone the other day, I mean, you don't know how big or how small your test's going to be. I mean, the death of your son, your loved one, is a huge test. So
exactly.
You don't know how big or how small your test is. But if you can make it through it, you can make it through it. So if you, you are here to be able to talk about it. If you confirm it. So Allah has allowed you to get through it. You will never, you know, comprehend or get over, you know, that feeling, because it's a reality. But you are here to know, to say that you are here. I can't say you did not know, because this is your son. But you.
Yeah. No. Yeah. You know, I understand what you were saying. It's, you know, you just.
Right.
You know, it's not like you've gotten over it, but you definitely know.
That's
that you can survive. You know, and everything is coming.
That's right. I'm going to shout out my Facebook feed, because I do a Facebook feed of Javi for the day. Did you know I'm just going to shoot my Facebook feed out here? That's one of my friends off Facebook. So I'm saying, As-salamu alaykum and Ramadan Mubarak to Sissy Ukti Salah Rahimukallah. She says, stay away from sins, big and small. Repent and don't repeat. Even a large ship will sink from a small leak. It's left on six. So that was nice. You know?
Yeah, very nice. I like
it.
Stay locked.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, I want to shout that out there. Again, you guys, thank you for giving me that opportunity to get you guys a little comment. And I had a Muslim Maria on Sunday throw out question, so I wanted to ask you, how do you feel when you go, if someone asks you this, and then you can give them a form of forecast, when you are around a group of Muslims, do you feel you fit in, or do you feel like the thumb on the hand?
Are you asking me that question, or is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do I feel like I fit in, or what now? Or
yes. So when you this throw out a Sunday question every Sunday. So this is this Sunday question. This is Muslim Reality Sunday throw out question.
Okay.
And the question is, when you are around a group of Muslims, do you feel you fit in, or do you feel like a thumb on the hand?
Well, it's kind of. I guess it would depend on which group of Muslims. Some group of Muslims, I go around and I just feel like I'm a part of the group because I know everybody and they know me and I feel comfortable. And then sometimes I go in different areas or different masjid and I'm not used to the people, and so I don't feel like, you know, I really fit in. But always feel accepted. I don't think I've ever felt that I wasn't accepted or that I didn't fit.
Right. That was a good one.
Yes, some Muslims you're more comfortable with than others, maybe.
Yeah, sometimes, because you know, you're familiar with, I have a lot of and family that I'm familiar with here, and I go to that mosque, so I feel really comfortable around them.
And then, or if you just have confidence in yourself, I mean, because the law said, hey, but I sound like, we speak the same language, you know what I'm saying? So, hey. Yeah.
Well,
some
Muslims, when I first meet them, I feel immediately comfortable with, and then there's a few others that I just feel a little bit out with, you know. I mean, nothing bad, but just there's just certain people that you just feel immediately comfortable with, and that sort of thing. So alhamdulillah, it's all within Allah's power. So
I've been around some Muslim sisters who don't speak English, and because of that, sometimes you can take that as, you know, feeling at a distance because we don't have a way of communicating. But then when I got to know them, they're just very nice, very sweet sisters, and they just couldn't speak English. That's all.
Exactly. That's a good thing, too.
I have experience to tell you a situation like that. There was a sister from India, and I was trying to help her and show her around and everything. And it was alhamdulillah, nobody else understood her because of her accent. But for some reason, Allah, alhamdulillah, I was able to understand her when everybody else couldn't understand her. And I don't know how that happened except by the grace of Allah. And for some reason, because other sisters would come up to me and say, what did she say? And I go, oh, she said this. And I don't know how, but I understood her. And it was the most amazing experience, alhamdulillah.
Yeah,
I think that's one right there too. We're going to match it. We have the different cultures in it, that, you know, so you kind of feel a little funny too. So you have to fit in. You have to fit in. Like, hey, like you say, we're so. I'm not going to say. I don't know if we're wearing up on the heat on that one, but we feel like we don't. It seems like they speak another language. It's like if you're talking to someone, they speak another language. You talk as if they are deaf. You know what I'm saying? Or you move as if they have no type of human connection with you. But you realize, like you say, this is the ring, and you just jump right on in. You realize, oh, they got two hands, and legs, two eyes, and mouth, and you realize, hey, they have the same stories that you have. They hurt. They happy.
Yeah.
They up. They down. They sad. They, you know, they have all the natural problems that take up human nature. So it's just that is why Allah has given us that, so we can blend, so we can get together and love one another and grow with one another. So mashallah. The sister that asked me that question right there, she felt, though, this is her story, is that when she go on a masjid, she get, you know, ostracized. You guys can pronounce it better than me. She gets, you know, get that out, so that off feeling at a masjid that she visits frequently, you know what I'm saying? So she doesn't feel comfortable. She doesn't feel like she's invited, or she doesn't feel invited. So
I can understand that. I've had experiences like that too, and it can happen, you know. And sometimes, I mean, people, as soon as you walk in the masjid, some of the sisters are just constantly correcting you and what you should or should not be doing. But, you know, one brother came and gave a khutbah one time, and he said, who gave you the job of being the authority of the masjid? And after that, I never heard another word from that sister.
I know, that's right.
Well, there's people, and this happened last Juma that I went to. there was a group of non-Muslims, students from Maryland University that were there observing the Juma, and they were dressed very respectfully and modest and everything. And but there was somebody who was not from the masjid who brought them in there. And then, alhamdulillah, I kind of started talking to them, and I walked out with them. And then she actually, which was the most amazing thing I could believe, she was to them criticizing the imam and how he proceeded with things, and talked about the fundraiser that they have to have. So I got the chance to speak up and defend the imam to them, and it was just, I didn't understand where she was coming from, why she felt this need to criticize. She said, this is just what really shouldn't be happening at a masjid. And I was so surprised that she would do that to these non-Muslims.
Yeah, that is.
It just, I mean, who gave her that authority? You know, basically, it made Muslims look very bad to non-Muslims, and it was a Muslim who was doing this. So I gather Allah put me there for a reason, and I just spoke up and I explained, no, the fundraiser doesn't happen during that time, during the Juma. It was just, this happens only one time a year during Ramadan where he mentions the fundraiser. And you know, then she criticized one of the sisters who's always going around making sure everybody's quiet and you know, listening to the imam and everything, and she was criticizing her too. And I couldn't understand this because she wasn't even from our masjid. So, you know, but alhamdulillah, I think Allah put me there for a reason. I was able to speak up and defend
them.
Yeah, and able to defend our Muslim brothers and sisters. And the sister at the time, I said that she's not a member of the staff, but everybody respects her. And she's the president's wife, and everybody respects her. And she just goes around making sure that everybody's listening to the imam and not chatting or picking up their cell phones and something like that. So I just felt she'd never been to our place before, so I didn't know why she felt the need to criticize like that.
And it would have been better if she had taken those thoughts or criticisms or whatever to the imam or to somebody else.
Thank you. Yes.
That would have been better, you know.
But
so
to be critical like that to non-Muslims who they didn't understand anything. This was totally new for them. This was just not the thing to do it. If she felt there was something to criticize, then she needed to go to the right people and do it, and not just make it sound like, well, this is not what's supposed to happen during a Juma. And, I mean, what did they know? They didn't know, and so they were very confused.
Yeah, well, that was unfair.
But that's the makeup of, we're going to put the best construction on and say, that's just the makeup of us. You always got to check ourselves. True story now, because I always had, when I was in the masjid last week, and someone asked me where was my sock. Well, I told them, they told me my sock drawer now. So anyway, we have to, you know, be delicate and delicate with people. I've been around for a minute, so I already know what to expect. So, hey,
I understand. I've been around too, and I don't take that.
Well, I think there's a difference between being helpful and then being critical for just to be critical, and that's a problem.
Yeah, I even had one sister that came out of the bathroom with me, and one bathroom stall is closed in, and it had a hose where you could do your stinja from there, right?
Yeah.
And the other bathrooms have the little cans in it where the people do their stinja. So I came out of that bathroom. Evidently, she wasn't familiar with that that hose. But anyway, she followed me out of the bathroom and said, "You didn't do a stinja. I saw you. You didn't do a stinja."
Oh, my God.
Because I had the can. Oh, really? You know?
Well, people need to check themselves instead
really,
of jumping on other people.
I mean, that was nervy, you know, really. I didn't want to come out of my Muslim form, you know, and deal with her.
Right. Oh, my God.
It was not Islamically correct. And I sat there and told her, you have a correction to make for somebody. I said, you make it in a way that person doesn't even know they're being corrected. And her senior, you know. So I told her the story and the hadith about these young boys who had saw an elderly do the wudu wrong or improper, and the way they corrected him was that they went to him and asked him, "Would you please do the wudu? We think we made a mistake in doing it."
Right.
In his showing them how it's done, he corrected himself.
Right.
So you know, you don't correct people like that, and that's what I told her. I said, you have to be careful of who you talk to and how you correct people. You don't do that.
So you never know what's their possession. They may have just taken that child yesterday or an hour before you see.
Yeah, you don't.
Exactly.
You don't know this place.
You don't know.
Yeah,
you know
that person and pull that person to the side, talk to that person. Get to know them before you start trying to correct
them.
Well,
you know,
I had a...
So if they even have
go ahead. Well, I'll jump in here.
We have to realize we
have so much to say.
How we would want to be, you know, treat people how you would want to be treated. We know that. We know how it goes. So if there's anything, you know, we have to deep depth. I mean, some people have to be handled. You know what I'm saying? You know, you got to give them the firmness sometimes, just like you have to give them. I mean, you have to give them, you know, sometimes people have to give it on all ends, but it's best to be gentle and delicate. You know, sometimes you got to use wit, though. But Marshall, I'm going to get my hobbies of the day out real quick and go down to 6:23. The show is over at 6:30. Christmas album, Zarina, we have to bring you back. I'm so upset that we got our time.
I know,
off.
I am too.
Yes. But you guys who are just tuning in, we are here looking at reality. We have Christmas Zarina alive again. She's from Phoenix, Arizona. She is the executive director and founder of the Cultural Cup Food Bank, a volunteer. I'm going to throw that out there because you're working hard. You got volunteer and medical. I'm going to let you folks give the information out to our listeners definitely for you guys. So this is worldwide. We have over 200,000 listeners. So this is worldwide. We have them everywhere. Marshall Law, the book is everywhere. Non-Muslim. So 111 Mahadi Bub today is narrated by Abu Herrera. Radio Lahu Anha says, Radio Lahu Anha, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your Lord said, every sinful deed can be expiated, alhamdulillah, and that the fast is for me, so I will give the reward for it, and the smell which comes out of the mouth of a fasting person is better in the last sight than the smell of musk. That is, I am tired. That's alhamdulillah. My daughter told me my breath smelled yesterday morning, and I was like, how her dad was like, oh, what'd she say? I was like, what'd you say? He said, my mouth smell. I was like, good. So alhamdulillah, definitely. A lot says that the smell comes out of the mouth of a fast person is better in the sight of Allah than the smell of musk. So that is getting your fast on. Alhamdulillah, I have to say that. Did you know, I just want to shout out, did you know that we all know this, that Allah know every leaf that falls from the tree. That is a huge thing. I just can't. I'm overwhelmed with that, so I can't get over that yet. You know, and that's what you call a know-it-all. We know Allah is the all-knowledge. You know each leaf that falls from the tree.
Absolutely.
Yeah, mashallah. Yeah, so since we're down to a couple minutes, let us know what you got for us. Let us know your information, anything that you...
Sure, I'd be happy to. They can... find out more about the Cultural Cup Food Bank and the free clinic on our website, www.culturalcup.com. And that's, again, www.culturalcup.com. And then also, if they want to call in, call to the office, it's 602-266-8370. 266-8370.
That's in the Phoenix, Arizona area. You guys is out there in this area code 602 for you guys out there. Definitely support a husband. You gotta make your wife for the sisters. And much success to the volunteers, the Muslims and the non-Muslims. Let us connect. You know, we have to let everyone know that, you know, we have to represent us. There's a lot of people representing us, you know, that are not Muslim. There are a lot of people that represent us, non-Muslims, that doesn't have to understand us religion, but we that have to understand another religion, let's represent it the way it's supposed to be represented, inshallah. Definitely, you guys who are just tuning in, if you want to call the number, Muslim every hour of Sunday, throw out questions, you can, if you like, definitely. When you're around a group of Muslims, do you feel you fit in, or do you feel like the thumb on the hand? I said just to say that. Check it out. But you guys definitely, tune in next week for more Muslim Reality. Definitely have to, you guys, my bill's still here. You guys definitely purchase a membership here. Go to the link www.AmericanMuslim360.com. That's $99 for business organizations and masters, $24.99 for regulars, $14.99 for seniors. You guys definitely can promote your class for commercial advertising. Tune back in for more Muslim Reality as well. Soon. 2 seconds here, But then I meet Adam to you guys in the hereafter, in this life. I pray I will meet you in the hereafter. So, Sister Serena, we got to get back, you guys. Much love, much success. We got 50 seconds. I'm giving my salam. I'm giving you the opportunity, Sister Serena, to give your salam to the people.
Alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, and Ramadan Mubarak to everyone.
Alhamdulillah, Sister Debbie, you got something to say out there?
Same thing, ditto.
Thank you guys so much for supporting my reality AM360. Please stay tuned next week, and inshallah we'll be here. Muslim Word is better than Captain Sisters Arena. We got to get back. And inshallah, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you too.
I love you guys for the sake of Allah. Ramadan Mubarak. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you.